Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long distance calls you can make anytime. And no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8, Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
Metro PCS. Tell them Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
M1320 KCTC. Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The charge is kidnapping now in the second case. 41-year-old Michael Devlin is accused of abducting Sean Hornbeck more than 4 years ago, as well as 13-year-old Ben Ownby.
On October 6, 2002, in Richwoods, Missouri, Michael John Devlin abducted SDH, utilizing force for the purpose of terrorizing the victim.
That's Sheriff Kevin Schroeder there in Missouri. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula is there. Jim?
Harley, Washington County, Missouri, about an hour and a half southwest of St. Louis is where this is all taking place. Two new charges against 41-year-old Michael Devlin, kidnapping allegedly Sean Hornbeck in October of 2002, and a weapons charge. Authorities here saying that they believe that once Devlin allegedly grabbed this then 11-year-old, he held him in a vehicle at gunpoint and left the county, Harley.
Thank you, Jim Krasula, there in Missouri. The House has voted with strong support from both sides of the aisle to reduce the interest rates on student loans.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. This would cut interest rates in half over the next 5 years for need-based loans for about 5.5 million college students. Though some Republicans complained about the bill, many ended up joining Democrats in voting for it, especially since it does not add to the federal deficit. Instead, it's paid for by increasing the fees banks will have to pay to make the government-backed loans, which is why banks will try to stop the bill in the Senate.
The NSA terror surveillance program, as it's been operated, has been scrapped. The Attorney General says a secret federal court will oversee it now. ACLU legal director Ann Beeson is happy.
There needs to be much more transparency about the program and the new judicial oversight.
CBS's legal analyst Andrew Cohen says it was a reversal by the administration, but tactically a smart one.
I suspect that there are a lot of civil libertarians out there who are disappointed that the program, as it was operating, won't come under scrutiny by a Democratic Congress or the U.S. Supreme Court, because the program almost certainly would have been declared unconstitutional. So what this move does is preempt that legal battle, at least for now.
A resolution in the Senate, expected to come up next week, says senators don't support the buildup of troops in Iraq. Maine's Olympia Snow and Nebraska's Chuck Hagel are the only Republicans on board.
Some of us feel that the course that the president announced Wednesday was not the appropriate course.
It would be a non-binding resolution. The news on cancer has been great. Number of cases is down by 3,000 in 2003, the latest year for stats. It means people are finally winning the battle.
In the last year, the number of deaths from colorectal cancer alone declined by 2,000 in men and women combined.
Elizabeth Ward at the American Cancer Society. The reasons? Better testing, early warnings, better living and health habits, and treatments have improved. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 5 points, NASDAQ off 18, oil closed at $52.24 a barrel, up $1.03. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. When you purchase my new 8-pound Orrick XL upright vacuum, you also get a great gift. For everything above the floor, I'll give you my Orrick Super Compact Canister. It's so powerful, it'll pick up a bowling ball. Try them free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. After all, why settle for one vacuum? With Orrick, you can get two. 1-800-989-4200.
Kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, because here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh Ahi tuna is seasoned, seared, and served on a batter crisp remain. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
The Cal- California, citrus crops have been hard hit by the cold snap. In Florida, reaction.
You'll probably pay more for orange juice, but not necessarily a lot more.
In California, the vast majority, only almost 80-90% of that product goes to the fresh fruit markets.
Florida Citrus Mutual Executive Director Mike Sparks says Florida oranges make up about 90% of the juice market. He says growers here are empathetic about what's happened in California. Deep freezes nearly destroyed the Florida citrus industry during the 80s, and the state took a huge hit during the 2004 and 5 hurricane seasons. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Speeding down the wrong, too short runway in Lexington, Kentucky, the tired flight crew realized something was up last August 27th. The Com Air co-pilot remarked it was weird with no lights. Clear indication they thought the MD-80 was on the correct runway, but that the lights were off. Too short for a takeoff speed, the plane never left the ground with more than a wingspan before sagging back to earth and the trees. Harley Carnes, CBS.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Times are strange. We got a free upgrade for snakes on a plane. I don't care. Bought the cheap champagne. We're going down in flames. Hey,
oh, I'm ready for it.
Come on, bring it.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Come on, bring it.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Come on, bring it.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Come on, bring it.
Sounds like Bush is talking. Bring him on. I'm ready for it. Come on, bring it. Well, you've come to the right place. 3:05, 5 minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. This is the place where 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, we have what I hope is a really vibrant, rich, compelling, highly participatory a conversation amongst all of us, and it's a very wide-ranging conversation, and it involves the whole community. That's us, and because you can listen to Enid Live, and it's always toll-free, no matter where you are. You can listen on the net. Because we have a live stream. We are getting people from all over the place. Largely in the area, but there are lots of listeners also who are quite far flung. So, if you want to listen on the net, if you're at work, if you want to listen to the live stream, we are now live and interactive at 1320leftchannel.com. 1320leftchannel.com. Or you can email me, enid@kctc.com. But the best thing to do is to call, because then we can all hear what you have to say. We love hearing what you have to say. Sometimes you bring a whole new perspective, things that we never would have thought about. And some of you are very hilarious, both vertently and inadvertently. And all you have to do is pick up the phone. And we know that most of you never call a talk radio show. So if you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. 349-1320. And if you're not, it's 866-626-1320. 866-626-1320. And all calls to Enid Live, all calls to AM 1320 on the air are completely, utterly toll-free. It doesn't cost you anything. So, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Well, there is a free phone call. It may be even a free lunch. It may be a free snack. So we encourage you to use this resource that you can't talk to your friends always about what's on your mind, because we have friends for different things. And some of our friends, we love them dearly, but they are of a completely different political persuasion, or they're not remotely interested in current affairs or politics or books or anything. We love them for other reasons, but you can't have a conversation with them about it. You may not be able to have a conversation with your coworkers for that reason, or even with members of your family, but you can have a conversation with us. And all of us are kind of like-minded, even if we don't agree on anything. We're like-minded in the sense that we care about good conversation. We're smart. We're funny. We're completely dopey. We love ideas, and we have many, many listeners to Enid Live who are Republican, who are conservative, who are we have varying political persuasions here, but everybody has a shot at being heard on the air. And I might not agree with you. We might cuff each other around. Steam might be pouring out of our ears. but you will always have a fair hearing. 349-1320. Let me start here with Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of the big stories that's happening in the state of California. Although it is getting warmer, so maybe it will become less of a story. Well, no, it isn't. It's going to be the story that's the time bomb story, because the citrus crop has been hugely affected by the weather. So that means that when you are going to the store to get navel oranges and citrus of all kinds, probably is not as much will be available, and it will be a lot pricier just because the crops were so heavily affected by the horrible weather. Schnorzi, our governor, visited a Sanger area citrus grove yesterday and said the state's crop losses alone could approach $1 billion. Schwarzenegger let his Office of Emergency Services Director answer most of the questions. He was able to hobble around about 150 feet on his crutches. He arrived at the farm shortly after 4 p.m. and spent about 5 minutes riding along the orange grove, which bordered peach and plum orchards. And then on crutches, he walked about 150 feet, accompanying the grower who showed him the crop damage. And then Schnorzi addressed the press. He let his Office of Emergency Services Director answer most of the questions, but Schnorzi noted that when he declared a state of emergency and opened a warming center in Palm Springs, everybody was laughing, he said, because they thought I made a joke, but now we saw what actually happened. And then when he was asked about illegal immigrants getting assistance, the governor said, everyone will get help. You know, I think we have to reach out to everyone. We are not here collecting immigration statuses. That's what he said, Schnorzi said. What if Schnorzi calls himself, do you read spy stories? Do you read thrillers? One of the things that they use, we read thrillers, one of the ways that people can disguise themselves is kind of by misdirection. It's the same principle of doing magic tricks or those street tricks where it's like a three-card Monty, the magicians get you to watch one thing while they're doing something else because they focused your attention on one area. So when I think about misdirection, I'm thinking about Schnorzi, who calls himself a Republican, but what if he isn't? What if he's really a Democrat who just called himself a Republican? I don't know, just a thought. You might have some thoughts about that. A packaging situation, putting a logo on. If you have to have a brand name, what are you? Well, his health care proposals are running into a lot of problems. And Sheila Kuehl has taken him to task on his health care proposal, and he got a lot of mileage. Now, see, I don't know if you actually have to develop substance, but what he's got is a lot of sizzle here. I don't know if he's got substance on health care issues. I don't know if he's got substance on the proposal that he's making, but certainly there is a lot of sizzle. So here it is. State Senator Sheila Kuehl, whose universal health care plan Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger vetoed last year, weighs in again on the governor's new ideas. This time, Kuehl doesn't believe people should be calling Schwarzenegger's plan universal health care just because he requires everyone in the state to purchase insurance. So that's my point. He's calling it one thing. He calls himself a Republican, but maybe he's not. We don't know what he is exactly. He says he's providing substance, and he's calling it universal health care, and the newspaper is apparently very hungry for anything that looks like a crumb of gossip or information. Oh, he is advocating universal health care. But Sheila Kuehl, who has been a guest on this program, I think, a week or so ago, she puts it very succinctly. She says she doesn't believe that people should be calling Schwarzenegger's plan universal health care just because he's requiring everyone in the state to purchase insurance. And here's her point. Would you call it universal auto insurance? 25% of Californians don't comply. So many that we all have to carry uninsured motorist insurance, and in fact paying more for those who are uninsured, just as the governor has suddenly discovered we do in the area of health care. So just requiring that everybody has health insurance doesn't really make it universal. We tell everybody that they've got to have auto insurance, but a lot of people don't have auto insurance. And she 349-1320, she goes on to say the following. She says, The governor's proposal would simply continue this problem in a much more complicated and important area of health insurance with no controls on raises and premiums. See, what Arnold is proposing is that everybody have health insurance. There's no cap on what the insurance companies can charge you, no cap on, the premiums, no requirement for comprehensive or even adequate coverage. So you might be forced to pay a lot of money and not get very much for it. Every Californian, she says, could be required to pay high premiums, high deductibles, high copays, high out-of-pocket expenses for very little coverage. She has gone through the governor's proposal line by line. She rips it apart. There is no minimum guarantee of coverage in his proposal, no cost containment in his proposal, unequal burden on the poor in his proposal, possible premium increases, and so on, the senator says. And here is, one of the things that we know is, I think it affects about 20% of California businesses. Only 20% of California businesses employ more than 10 people. Of these, 80% are already providing some health insurance. So the employer mandate is only on 20% of California employers. Now, I think if you have under 10 employees, you've got to pay a percentage into a fund. So here is she says, the governor has consistently described his proposal, says Sheila Kuehl, as universal health care, which means that he's mandating that everybody have it, but everybody can't afford it. And they're not making it really terrifically available for people who can't. And they're pissing off the people that they're trying to get to fund it, like small business owners. Doctors, they want 2% of the revenues of doctors. If you're a small business owner, they want 4% from you, I think, of your payroll. So a lot of people are opposed to this, and there are no real safeguards. According to the LA Times, there's no minimum guarantee of coverage, no cost containment, unequal burden on the poor. You're already poor. Unequal burden on the poor. Possible premium increases. So you could conceivably be paying a high price for everything, and you don't get very much in the way of coverage. There is, for example, a high-risk pool in the state of California. If you can't get insurance, if you're not qualified, if you can't get it anyplace, you can, because you have prior existing conditions, because you're considered a high risk, there is a high risk pool in the state of California, but it's very expensive and it caps out at about $75,000, which in today's medical health care universe is bus fare. So in that high risk, I guess it's better than nothing, but you're paying a lot of money and you're just getting a cap at $75,000. So she's saying this is not universal health care. He has promised, Schnorzy has promised it would cover all California's children and indicated that everyone, doctors, hospitals, businesses, insurance companies, and consumers would have a shared responsibility. But, she says, the details of the proposal reveal quite a different picture. Well, I think it was Frank Lloyd Wright Ludwig Mies van der Rohe, two very famous architects, one of them said, God is in the details. God is in the details. Other people say the devil is in the details. So if you are getting a nice song and dance from the recruiters, your military recruiters, about how you're only going to have to serve for a couple of years and you're never going to have to go to Iraq, read the fine print, because you got to be in there for 8 years. They can have you for 8 years. You can do a couple of tours of duty where you couldn't before, and they can send you anywhere they want to send you. So Schnorzy is saying this is what his plan consists of, but if you read the plan, it isn't what it consists of. The central basis of the governor's plan is simply to mandate that every Californian must, by law, carry health insurance. There is no requirement that the health insurance be affordable, and there is no minimum coverage. This means that the requirement can be met by a bare-bones policy covering only catastrophic events with a $5,000 deductible and up to $7,500 in out-of-pocket expenses for all the things that are not covered by the policy. This is not, Sheila Kuehl is writing, universal health insurance. Think for a moment about auto insurance. Even before Prop 103 passed, limiting the amounts by which insurance companies companies could raise your auto insurance premiums to those approved by the insurance commissioner, we all had to have auto insurance. Would you call that universal auto insurance? 25% of Californians don't comply. So many that we've all got to have uninsured motorist insurance. So, what she's saying is that Schnarchy's proposal would just continue this problem in a more complicated way. That employer mandate is only on 20% of California employers. Conservatives in the legislature have focused fiercely on what they call an employer mandate, but the governor's plan requires only those California businesses that employ 10 or more to provide minimal coverage, but it turns out, or else to pay 4% of their payroll. Only 20% of California businesses employ more than 10 people, and of these, 80% are already providing some sort of health insurance to their employees at a cost of 9 to 11% of payroll. In a way, this is an invitation to businesses to reduce what they pay for health insurance for their employees. 4% of the payrolls of businesses with more than 10 employees would not be sufficient to provide health care for the employees. So I'm wrong. It was 4% if you aren't doing health care coverage for your employees, of 10 or more employees in your business. But if you have 10 or fewer, or 9 or less, I don't know what your requirements are. Maybe you don't have to provide anything. Maybe people have to do this now on their own. And if they're making a minimum wage, how are they going to do it? How will they do it? How are you going to pay for this expensive insurance? What Paul Krugman has said in the New York Times is that the only way for any of this to work is to cut out the insurers. You don't need them. California could set up its own pool. You cut out the middlemen, it would be a lot less expensive. It would be a lot cleaner. It would be a lot simpler. And right from the start, we could save a ton of money. Would this interest you? You know, during the election, when Phil Angelides brought this up and could get no traction with it, because I don't think he stuck with any theme for very long, but what he was talking about was health care for children, universal health care for children. And he really was very slippery when I tried to nail him down to what about everybody else? How about a universal single-payer system? He didn't really want to, you know, he kind of finessed it. Is the only way, good way to put it. I couldn't really nail him down on it. So, and what Dan Walters was reporting is that only about 4% of Californians even cared about the issue. I think everybody's concerned about it because as more and more jobs are outsourced, as more and more of us are independent contractors, as more and more people are working hourly wages and are not on the payroll, more and more people are going to be responsible for their own health care, and as health care costs have skyrocketed, it's not like the old days where you could where it was all much more affordable, and even if you had to pay for it, it was way more affordable than it is now. You even had a chance of actually being able to pay it off. Now it's impossible. You know, you go in to the ER for some little nothing, and it is a fortune. That is the most expensive kind of treatment. If you have no health care coverage, they're forced by law to pick it up. But who's picking it up? The rest of us are picking it up. I think we're all worried about it. I think we're in a time of fear. I think we're in a time of anxiety. I think that's one of the reasons we're so angry. Anger is a keynote of this time, an emotional keynote of where we are, even though we're such an affluent society in general. We're kind of worried. Nobody knows. You don't have the kind of longevity that you used to have with jobs. You could start out with a company and you could stay with them your whole career and know that there was a pension. There are very few pensions anymore with companies. They all want to convert to a 401k. There's not that much oversight on 401ks. We're living in an age of anxiety. And it doesn't help that you turn on TV and there are all these commercials for prescription drugs. So that makes you even more nervous. Well, they have a pill now. If you shop too much, you can get a you can take a drug for that. If you're a philanderer, I think they found a gene for that one too. Not tight jeans, but a gene. There are all kinds of, you know. So everybody's thinking, oh, maybe I can take a pill for that and it will solve my problems. And everybody seems to be on antidepressants of one stripe or another. So I think we are in a time of real anxiety. And I think if we knew that if anything happened, because you never know if anything's going to, you know, you're just walking along. It's like the Twilight Zone. You get in the car that day, and it's a nice sunny day, and then you wind up in hell, or you wind up like the Kim family, snowed in, and you're dead in 5 minutes or in a few days. Remember in Oregon? You just, you know, you're off on a family vacation. Everybody's got high hopes and high spirits. You know, you wake up in the morning, and here's the norovirus, which I know Brian Williams is going to do a big report on. I think that's what he's going to do it on. And they had to close down San Quentin, and they tell you that you can get it again. You can be reinfected. And your goddess may have had a touch of this over the holidays, and it wasn't fun. The only upside of it is you can lose a couple of ounces this way because you do not want to eat. It is you, the whole idea of eating is very awful to contemplate, so you just don't. And then you realize afterward, you know, I had this great insight about eating. We were all trying to lose weight after the holidays. My great insight about eating was a lot of times we eat. Why do we eat? Because it's there. Sometimes you just pop something into your mouth. It doesn't give you any satisfaction. You weren't hungry. It's just robotic and reflexive, and you got nothing. It's one thing to eat something and really enjoy it. And other times you're just popping it mindlessly. And I'm thinking, you know, that is why we are all trending toward obesity. But we're talking about Sheila Kuehl, and she is saying about schnortzy, which is something the media did, the national media, every time schnortzy burps, every time schnortzy passes a little gas, it's a front page story in the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, and you tell me why he is such an icon to the universe when, you know, there's a lot of sizzle there, but I don't know about the substance. And here he's floating the idea of what he is calling universal health care, but when you look into it, it really is not. And that's what Sheila Kuehl's point is. Her plan is the better plan. And the point is, can we all get behind it? You know, if we can get together and get behind a lot of things, whether it's the withdrawal of troops from Iraq or whatever it is, if we there is enormous power that resides in the people. If we can get together, boy, we can really go to town. 349-1320, are you happy with your health care? Do you like Sheila Kuehl's plan? Did she expose the governor's plan for the lack of substance that it displays? The emperor's new clothes, naked as usual, and a body that's got a broken femur. 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some traffic going on. We see Manzanita Avenue at Lincoln Avenue. There's a two-car crash over there. Looks like emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. An accident, Greenback Lane, just east of Fair Oaks Boulevard. Not sure how many cars are involved. Two vehicles. One's a Honda Accord on the right-hand side, so stay clear of that. And we have a pedestrian lingering northbound 99 just south of LC Avenue. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's full frontal radio.
It's all about you. I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Now, 349-1320.
Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. Check the details out. When Schnorzy says he's proposing universal health care, turns out that he's really not. He wants everybody to sign up for it, but he's not going to provide a whole lot of support for it, and the people he does want to support it are furious. They're pissed off. They don't want to pay for it. I don't know if it's ever going to go anywhere, but Sheila Kuehl's idea is really the best idea, and I'm wondering, are you concerned about your own health care? Are you concerned about your, you know, we are the state with the highest number of uninsured in the state. A lot of people are angry with the idea of illegals being insured under Schnorzy's proposal, but this is a public health issue. Everybody should have health insurance. It should be a basic human right. And beyond that, if you want to be practical, even if you don't think it's a basic human right, if somebody's got a contagious disease, I mean, the disease doesn't look to see if you're here illegally before it infects you, and then therefore somebody else is now another carrier, and the rest of us are infected. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. This from Johns Hopkins. I want to pass this along from a friend of mine who's a doctor, and I hope it's accurate, but it makes news. Cancer news from Johns Hopkins. No plastic containers in a microwave. No water bottles in a freezer, and no plastic wrap in the microwave. So no plastic containers in a microwave, because I guess if you put it in a microwave, some stuff migrates. And no water bottles in the freezer, so again, some of the dioxins and stuff from the bottles or the plastic. I assume they mean plastic water bottles, because dioxins are highly poisonous to the cells of our bodies. And don't use plastic wrap in your microwave. Use a paper towels instead if you're warming something up. So you just saved $5,000 in the ER here by listening to Enid Live. It strikes me, I'm looking at the Today Show, their numbers are down, and they apparently have taken a page out of Dickey's book. You know, here's the definition of insanity. Keep doing the same thing that you've been doing and expect a different outcome. So you have a surge in progress where the president has thumbed his nose at everybody because he has no support on this. And you're looking at NBC, the Today Show, its numbers are going down, down, down. Now, look at this. We've talked about how we have half the number of independent bookstores that we had in 1993. Half of them have closed. Newspaper circulation is down. Book sales year to year are down. TV watching, the TV news, whether it's Katie Couric, whether it's a network news or whether it's a local news. I think the numbers are all trending down. Television is maybe because it's so fragmented, maybe because you can get news anytime you want it. You don't have to wait for the newscast unless you like a particular anchor or a particular newscast. The Today Show, the numbers are trending down. So what are they going to do? They're going to lengthen the show. This is television thinking. This is Dickey. You know, we threw all these 130,000 troops in Iraq. Well, we'll send 21,000 more. We're going to make this work. NBC is going to make the Today Show longer. NBC News is announcing that it will stretch its Today Show to 4 hours from 3. Because the show is one of the most profitable shows that NBC runs. And it's a brand name. The Today Show is a brand. And so, never mind that the ratings are going down. They're just going to keep extending it. Pretty soon, you're going to have a 24-hour Today Show that morphs into Tonight, but they're going to still call it Today because in some time zone, it might be Today. There is the fear that lengthening this show to boost profits could also risk diluting one of television's most profitable franchises. In connection with the expansion, NBC will cancel its struggling afternoon soap, Passions, under contracts with its local affiliates, NBC can only expand Today to a fourth hour by swapping an hour of national programming from elsewhere from the daytime schedule. So that's why that soap opera, if you're that soap opera fan, which I think a lot of you who listen to Enid Live are probably not big soap opera fans, that one apparently is going to be disappeared so that the Today Show can expand itself to 4 hours. Are you still watching the Today Show? I don't know. I gave up a long time ago. I don't know why. But it was just too... There was just too much, the air-to-substance ratio was too great. There was too much air and not enough substance, and it was just a little cutesy-wootsy, and, you know, Meredith Vieira is fine, she's terrific, but this is an example of the same kind of thinking that Dickey is exhibiting, in case anything he does could be called thinking. When it comes to Iraq, and by the way, there's big news about that, and I will get there. I will share it with you. As you know, the Libby trial is underway, and jury selection continues. And so the issue is they are looking for jurors. And here we go. They are looking for jurors who don't have a bad impression of Dick Cheney, who trust Dick Cheney. They're looking for jurors who trust Dick Cheney. Do you think they're going to find enough people to constitute a jury if that's the litmus test? They're looking for jurors who at least don't distrust Dick Cheney or trust Dick Cheney. So here it is. The Cheney's credibility has emerged as a key issue in the jury selection, with defense lawyers looking for a panel that can trust the vice president, who is expected to testify on behalf of his former chief of staff, Scooter Libby. Now, remember, the whole issue here is perjury and a cover-up. That is the whole issue with Libby. And we think that what the real issue here is that the leak really came from Dick Cheney, and that Libby has thrown himself on his sword and is protecting the vice president. That is what we think is going on here. So the trial is underway. The jury selection is going forward. And what the defense attorneys want are people who can trust Dick Cheney. You think they'll find any? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, it looks like our weather is going to be beautiful. Actually, I think it's absolutely gorgeous. But 33 for the low tonight. We're going to see sunny highs 54 tomorrow, partly cloudy on Friday with a low of 33. It's 59 degrees here in Sacramento. Traffic at northbound 99 just south of LC Avenue. There's a pedestrian over there. Not sure the deal, but he is in the middle of the roadway. There's emergency vehicles addressing it now. Greenback Lane just east of Fair Oaks Boulevard and Cameron Park Drive. There's a three-car crash over there slowing things down. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
Hi, it's Jerry.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Crocker Rat.
Talk to Enid now,
Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about a lot of things, as usual, our flea market of ideas, and you are invited to join the conversation. We start out by talking about the fact that Sheila Kuehl's ripping Arnold's health care program. She says it's not universal. He's not going to provide it for everybody. It's going to burden the poor. There are not going to be any caps on how much can be charged or the kind of coverage you can get for it. I mean, there are a huge number of flaws. The Republicans hate the idea. Probably in Arnold Schwarzenegger's, in its present incarnation, it's not going to go very far. Sheila Kuehl's bill is by far the better bill, but I don't know that we know quality anymore. And the insurance companies absolutely don't want to be out of the loop, and they're going to not, they are going to pull out every single stop. They are not going to let AB 840 go forward, or it's SB 840 go forward. They simply won't, and so unless we the people start to make ourselves heard, we're going to get steamrollered again. But I think she makes really a good point. And my other question, which I really didn't formulate all that well, but let me do it. It doesn't matter how absurd or insubstantial his utterance, anything Arnold says seems to get national coverage. I do not know why that happens, but it does happen. Why does it happen? You tell me. If he says anything, the most insignificant nothing, the papers are jumping on it. Is it because there's not enough really hard news, or what's the story here? But he, like Reagan, is enjoying a charmed life, and when you think about what he's proposing, sometimes there's a lot more sizzle than there is substance. 349-1320, 866-626. 1320. We're also talking about the Libby trial. It's underway. Dick Cheney is expected to testify. And the litmus test for the defense in jury selection is whether or not they trust Dick Cheney. How are they going to find a 12 or 13 people, or however many people they're going to need for the jury with their alternates and whatever? How are they going to find that many people who trust Dick Cheney? Where are they going to go? To Dick Cheney's family? You tell me. Don Rumsfeld's family? I don't think you can find a dozen people in this country who trust Dick Cheney. who are among the higher than room temperature. You tell them 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Okay. This administration, I mean, I don't know where to begin. A senior Pentagon official in charge of military detainees suspected of terrorism said in an interview that he was dismayed that lawyers at many of the nation's top firms were representing prisoners at Guantanamo Bay and that the firm's corporate clients should consider ending their business ties. You got that? He is saying that there are a lot of law firms, and I'm guessing that they're doing this work pro bono on behalf of the detainees at Guantanamo. So there are a lot of major law firms who are handling the detainees pro bono. That means at no cost. Who are at Guantanamo in that perpetual hellhole. They're never, you know, they're not charged. They're never getting out. It's a Kafka-esque nightmare. And here is what the senior Pentagon official is saying, and he himself is an attorney. He thinks that those law firms' names should be made public and the businesses, the big businesses, the corporations and so on, who retain those law firms ought to sever their business ties with those law firms. You talk about manipulation and you talk about pressure. There it is. These are the comments by Charles D. Stimson, a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, Deputy Assistant, Junior Deputy Assistant of Defense for Detainee Affairs. It produced an instant torrent of anger from lawyers, legal ethics specialists, and bar association officials who said that his comments were repellent and displayed an ignorance of the duties of lawyers to represent people in legal trouble. You know, so you've always asked the question, how can you represent so-and-so when he's guilty? Well, you are innocent until you are not, until you are proven guilty. That is the system. You are not guilty, maybe more precisely put, until you are proven guilty. That is the system. So you get an attorney, and even these legal detainees, but this is the mindset of these people in the administration. This is their mindset. The mindset is that they want to put pressure on any of these law firms that are representing the detainees at Guantanamo. This is prejudicial to the administration of justice, said a law professor at NYU, and an authority on legal ethics. It's possible that lawyers willing to undertake what has been long viewed as an admirable chore, at no money, undoubtedly, will decline to do so for fear of antagonizing important clients. So this is, and the New York Times inveighed against it in an editorial, saying no one who has followed President Bush's policies on detainees should be surprised when a member of his team scorns American notions of justice. But even by that low standard, the administration's new attack on lawyers who dare to give those prisoners the meager representation permitted them is contemptible. Speaking this week on the radio, on a website, and an AM radio station, offering helpful hints for bureaucrats and helpful news for the administration, Cully Simpson, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Detainee Affairs, tried to rally American corporations to stop doing business with law firms that represent inmates of Guantanamo, to stop doing business with law firms that are representing inmates. Now, how contemptible is that? Is this what you agree? Is this how you punish? Is this how you prevent people who need and all they're going to get is a kind of meager representation? Is this how you manipulate the system further against people? So that if you're a law firm and you're representing some of these people who could really use your help, the administration wants to manipulate no representation for these people by threatening. By trying to get big businesses to sever their ties with their law firms, any law firms. And, you know, if you're an attorney and you're willing to donate your time and you think that donating your time could jeopardize some business for your law firm, you are going to think twice about it, which is exactly what the administration wants to have happen. They want to manipulate the situation so that with more fear. You'll be afraid. If you're an attorney willing to represent one of these Guantanamo detainees pro bono, if you're willing to do that, you might think twice about it if it could jeopardize your law firm's client list. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Janice in Grass Valley, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, you seem to be surprised that they're doing this type of, this isn't manipulation, this is coercion. This is what this administration is done to everyone. They don't just do it to Iraqis. They don't just do it to supposed terrorists. They do it to Americans. That's why that attorney made that statement. I'm sure if he didn't write part of the Patriot Act, which puts all Americans at risk of being stripped of their citizenship, thrown into jail somewhere and God knows where, of course they're going to do everything because they don't want democracy. They don't want a republic in America. They want to rule it, make money off of it, and we can just wither and die.
Well, I think you're right. Withering and dying is exactly what they have in mind. That's certainly their Iraq policy. Anybody who's sent there has a great chance of dying and withering a little before they die. Yes.
And if they do survive, they're amputees. If you've listened to Randy Rhodes, she talks about the urologist that spent 4 months over there. I think he was reservist or National Guard. And not to get too graphic, but along with the other amputations that are done on these poor kids that survive these explosions, with their legs, two or three amputations of their genitals a day for the 4 months he was there.
Wow.
One or two a day. That's what he did.
Well.
So, I mean, they think nothing of us. We are fodder. They want all of our money.
Well, but the larger question, Janice, there is no question what you're saying is true. And the larger question is, how is it that we have, those of us who did, I didn't, you didn't, voted against our best interests and are not outraged and are not screaming for justice here? How is it?
Well, I'm afraid to say it because the fact is we're stupid.
and getting dumber by the second, maybe. I don't know. I don't think we're stupid. Maybe we're just lazy. I don't know that we're stupid.
I'm afraid that they used, instead of black against, well, they did do black against white in the South.
Well, maybe they get us with the misdirection of, you know, just like Arnold is
right.
Pretending to be one thing, the misdirection of a late-term abortion or partial birth abortion or gay marriage or some other thing. And people say, the hell with that. I'm not interested. And then they go about their
homosexual agenda. They get people to the polls with that. Look how long they've been in office. If they really wanted to outlaw abortions, they would have done it. If they really wanted to.
No, they don't want to. They just want to keep using it as a pinata. And manipulate people with fear. Janice, we're going to have to leave it there, but I'm delighted that you called, and I thank you for doing it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. In a northbound Cap City Freeway at E Street, we have a couple of car crash there. It looks like emergency vehicles are on scene for that one. Southbound 99 at eastbound 47th Avenue, we got a Toyota pickup and a white Ford pickup over there getting caught into it. In a northbound Cap City Freeway, just north of East El Camino, there's a three-car crash over there. A couple of vehicles are involved. In the live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
I know what you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime, and no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8, Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S., taxes and fees not included.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long distance calls you can make anytime. And no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
World News Roundup, Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Senate could soon go on record against the Bush administration's new strategy in Iraq. There's agreement on a non-binding resolution that opposes the troop buildup and calls for an expedited transfer of responsibility to the Iraqis. Democrats Joe Biden and Carl Levin were joined by Republican Chuck Hagel.
This was not an initiative by the Democrats to get me. I remind you again, I don't know of anyone who has been clear on this position and this issue than me.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. It'll add insult to injury to President Bush if many Republicans go along with the Democrat resolution against his Iraq strategy. So the White House is reaching out to GOP members of the House and Senate.
They've got questions and they have concerns. The president wants to hear them. He wants to address whatever concerns they have.
But at the same time, spokesman Tony Snow says a resolution won't change Mr. Bush's mind.
At this point, the president has obligations as a commander-in-chief, and he will go ahead and execute them.
Snow says those opposed to the Bush strategy should put forward an alternative.
Now this.
Hey, I'm here with the Tuttles from TLC's American Chopper.
Hey, this is Mike.
Paul Sr.
Paul Jr.
So, hey, Polly, I hear you're gearing up for a new season now on TLC, the Learning Channel.
What was?
And he asked me a question.
Why do you do stupid things?
Hey, can you tell me about the new network, TLC?
I know. Who does more?
What about the new shop?
I think you're delusional.
You're an idiot.
And I'd like to thank everybody.
Shut up.
Okay. Hey, all right, guys, thanks for coming in. Hey, everybody, don't forget, American Chopper premieres tomorrow night at 9, 8 Central, only on TLC.
New on DVD.
Out of the 39,000 men and women who make up the United States Coast Guard, there are only 208 rescue swimmers.
No matter what happens out there, you stay together.
For these real heroes, the harder the sacrifice, the greater the reward.
Let's go!
Kevin Costner, Ashton Kutcher, The Guardian, including an alternate ending. Ordered on DVD and Blu-ray disc January 23rd. Bonus material not rated. Rated PG-13 for intense sequences of action, peril, brief strong language, and some sensuality.
Faced with a new Democratic majority in Congress, the Bush administration has decided to let judges oversee its domestic electronic surveillance of people with suspected terrorist ties. CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis has the story.
For the past year, the administration has strongly opposed calls to have the surveillance program placed under the supervision of an independent court, arguing that the president has the power to order the eavesdropping without a warrant. But with pressure mounting from critics, the attorney general announced the about-face, saying the existing rules are being dropped and that a secret court is already approving warrants, adding that the discussions have been going on for 2 years. The change, however, comes less than 1 day before the attorney general faces sharp questioning on Capitol Hill.
Senator Edward Kennedy is among those who've been delayed at airports because his name appears on the government's no-fly list. Today, the Department of Homeland Security announced a one-step program that will allow people with no criminal or terrorist connections to clear their names. You don't often hear the words cancer and good news in the same sentence, but that's the case. Newly released figures from 2004 show cancer deaths fell significantly for the second year in a row. Dr. Alicia Port, a breast cancer surgeon at Memorial Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York, says there are two reasons.
Number one, early detection methods becoming more penetrant and becoming more widely used. And the second thing is obviously improved treatments. There are wonderful new exciting chemotherapeutic agents and hormonal agents.
Speaking of breast cancer, a new study confirms that density is a risk factor. It found that women with very dense breasts were 5 times more likely to develop cancer than women whose breasts are mostly fatty tissue. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula reports more charges have been filed against the man at the center of the missing boys case.
Authorities here in Washington County, Missouri, about an hour and a half southwest of St. Louis, have charged 41-year-old Michael Devlin with kidnapping Sean Hornbeck in October of 2002. They've also charged Devlin with a weapons charge. They claim that once he allegedly kidnapped this boy, he held him at gunpoint and left the county.
He was already charged in the kidnapping last week of 13-year-old Ben Ownby. And investigators consider Devlin their most viable lead in the 1991 disappearance of a boy who's never been found. According to audience members at today's taping of the Oprah Winfrey Show, Sean Hornbeck was in the audience and told Winfrey on a video clip that was shown that he was terrified in captivity and prayed his parents would find him. You're listening to the CBS World News.
Yeah, yeah.
20, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And it's a wonderful conversation that we have 5 days a week, 4 hours a day. There's almost nothing quite like it, I think. And the conversation is richer and more compelling for your participation. So the more of you participate, the better the conversation tends to be. And you can participate very easily in about four different ways. Well, there are three different ways. One is you can email me, enid@kctc.com. enid@kctc.com. But then nobody hears what you have to say, just me. You can, it's live and interactive online at 1320leftchannel.com, 1320leftchannel.com, or you can call, and that's really the best way. People, we've learned a lot about people by their regular phone calls here. We like to broaden it out and have more of you call in. We know that very few of you ever call a radio talk show. Less than 1% of the audience ever calls in, and probably a lot less than that. So 99.5% of you or 9% of you never call. So we would love to hear from you. I know sometimes you have to get your courage up to make the phone call, but it doesn't cost you anything to do it, and there could be great, good cost to benefit ratio here. If you're in the 916 area code, 349-1320, write it on your refrigerator, put it on a refrigerator magnet, or 866-626-1320, 866-626-1320, free, toll-free, doesn't cost you a penny, not a zip zero. Guess what? Our own Al Franken has the Washington Post reporting, has apparently reached out to Democratic lawmakers from Minnesota recently seeking advice on a possible Senate run against Republican Senator Norm Coleman next year. Franken, who, as you know, is a veteran of Saturday Night Live and of his radio show and is an author, told the Associated Press that he's called all of the Democrats in the Minnesota delegation. He said, "I didn't call Coleman," he deadpanned. "I want to mainly touch base and get advice and counsel on certain issues." Franken said he's also been reaching out to campaign vets, pollsters, and others to get their advice. While people have been encouraging, Franken said they've also warned about possible pitfalls. One in particular, Franken relayed, "It's unknown how people respond to a comedian running for the Senate. I need to figure out a way to let people know I'm extremely serious about Minnesotans and their lives." Well, you got a lot of comedians in the administration who are inadvertently funny. I don't think they meant to be funny, but they're inadvertently very funny. Tragically funny, as a matter of fact. Franken says he hopes to make a decision in the next few weeks. Last year, he moved his radio show from New York City to Minneapolis. Representative Colin Peterson, the chairman of the House Agricultural Committee, said that when he picked up the phone, the first thing Franken said was, "I need you to explain counter-cyclical payments to me." So Al Franken, we've been hearing the rumors for quite a while, but looks like now he's seriously reaching out. I think he'll do it. I think it would, first of all, I think it's a great goof if you can do it. And you don't, it's strenuous, and it's very tough to campaign for anything. Presidency's probably the worst, but Senator, and I think Norm Coleman is going to try to do every dirty little trick he can put his hands on. And here's Al Franken, who has been a comedian, and he's been a writer on Saturday Night Live, and he's done a lot of things, so maybe he's got a past. I don't know. Maybe he's got some baggage. Do you think that he can do it? And, I mean, look in the tea leaves and see. It means he won't be doing his radio show. If he runs for office, that's it. So if you've been a fan of the Al Franken radio show, which you can hear right here on AM 1320 from 9 to noon. If he does this, if he launches this campaign, he's going to have to come off the air in order to do it. Are you going to be sorry to see him go? Have you enjoyed his program? Do you think he's going to run? Do you think a comedian, if a wrestler can get elected governor, and an actor can become a president, and a dope can become a president, I don't know why somebody who went to Harvard and smart and funny can't become a senator. What are your thoughts? 349-1320. I don't think the bar is so high anymore. 866-626-1320. I think Bill Maher would make a very good elected official, don't you? Here it is. All right, so if you are just joining us, here is what we've been talking about. Arnold got a lot of press over his universal health care idea even for illegal kids anyway. At the same time that he slapped down welfare kids because if their parents don't work, he's cutting payments to them. But any utterance he makes seems to generate a lot of national press. And everybody is calling his health care proposal universal. And Sheila Kuehl is saying it is not universal. It's absolutely not. And there are no, if you look at it, it's not universal. It just means everybody's got to try and figure out how to get some health care coverage. There are no caps on what they can charge you for copays or premiums. It doesn't tell you what they can give you for the premiums. You know, they can overcharge you and then underdeliver. So there are a lot of problems with what Arnold is proposing. And a lot of Republicans are not on board with what Arnold is proposing. Doctors are not thrilled with the idea of giving up 2%, I think, of their gross income, which is what they would have to do under Arnold's proposal. Paul Krugman, writing in the New York Times, says that a far better way to go is Sheila Kuehl's bill, SB 840, universal single-payer system. Everybody, if you're a resident of the state of California, you're covered. And it would automatically save $8 billion just at the start, and I think more savings to come. Would be run like Medicare, but it would cut out the insurers, and believe me, the insurers don't want that to happen. We're also talking about the Scooter Libby trial. We think that it was Dick Cheney who actually leaked the information about Valerie Plame being an undercover agent. We think that Scooter Libby is taking the fall for it. It isn't the crime he's being prosecuted for. It's lying. It's perjury. It's the cover-up. And jury selection has begun, and apparently the litmus test for the jury, at least as far as the defense attorneys are concerned, is whether or not you trust Dick Cheney. And they want people on that jury who trust Dick Cheney. Are they going to find 12 people in this country who trust Dick Cheney? You tell me. Good luck. 349-1320. And we're talking about a Pentagon official, himself an attorney, who was threatening any attorneys who are doing work on behalf of the detainees in Guantanamo, and some of them are doing it pro bono. They're members of very large law firms that have a lot of corporate clients. And this guy was putting out the call to these big corporate clients that if any of their attorneys are defending any of the Guantanamo detainees, that they should consider severing their business ties with these law firms. In other words, he's trying to pressure, if they work secure, that they were on solid legal ground, do you think that they would feel the need to pressure law firms about representing the detainees at Guantanamo? I think they are on extremely shaky ground in every way. They don't want any fancy lawyers representing those people because the administration could get hammered, so they're threatening. Well, that official finally, after a firestorm of criticism, and I mean a firestorm, he is now, I think today, issued an apology. He says, during a radio interview last week, I brought up the topic of pro bono work and habeas corpus representation of detainees in Guantanamo. Regrettably, my comments left the impression that I question the integrity of those engaged in the zealous defense of detainees. I do not. No, it didn't bring up that issue. It brought up the issue of you trying to muscle the representation. He said, I firmly believe that a foundational principle of our legal system is that the system works best when both sides are represented by competent legal counsel. I support pro bono work, as I said in the interview. I was a criminal defense attorney in two of my three tours in the Navy Judge Advocate General's Corps. I zealously represented unpopular clients, people charged with crimes that did not make them or their attorneys popular in the military. I believe, he goes on to say, that our justice system requires vigorous representation. I apologize for what I said to those lawyers and law firms who are representing clients at Guantanamo. I hope that my record of public service makes clear that those comments do not reflect my core beliefs. He said them. They do reflect his core beliefs. And that isn't what he was apologizing for. What he was apologizing for was trying to manipulate the law firm, or what he wasn't apologizing for and should have, is to try to manipulate the law firm's pro bono representation by threatening those law firms with the loss of some of their core corporate clients. He was trying to get corporate clients to sever ties with any law firms that they use who are providing pro bono representation, representing those Guantanamo detainees. This guy is a pig. 349-1320, and I don't care how many apologies he issues, he's really not apologizing for anything. And now we have The full text of the non-binding resolution introduced today by Joe Biden, Carl Levin, and Chuck Hagel, who Bob Scheer thinks should run for president and he'd support him even if he's a Republican. The key line is, it is not in the national interest of the United States to deepen its military involvement in Iraq, particularly by escalating the U.S. presence in Iraq. All right, big deal. A non-binding resolution. Is it going to have any effect? Dickie is going in there on his own, and he doesn't care. He's in the bunker with Barney, and he's in the bunker with Laura, and he doesn't care what you say. And the Democrats are really afraid to cut the funding because it's going to look like they're not supporting the troops. What's going to happen from this non-binding resolution? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Is it going to have any effect? We got to get on the stick here. Buckaroos, Dan in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
I've looked at this thing for this whole political thing for about 55 years, and I see this situation that the only thing Democrats really, the only viable thing they can do is just impeach this guy. He's going to try to figure out any way in the world to get around anything, any roadblock anybody puts up in front of him, and just to make it sweet and short, the only thing's going to stop him is impeachment, and it's got to be done.
You know, I am coming closer and closer to that point of view, because this guy is so evil and he has run amok, and there isn't anything anybody can do except put him in restraints, and impeachment will put him in restraints.
Absolutely. I don't care where you look and what you do, he's doing things against the Constitution of the United States and the people, and we are the people.
We are the people, and we better start speaking up big time.
Well, and just like I said, the Democratic Party, I've called my representatives, and I said, I don't care what you say, what you think, you can try playing with this guy. He's not going to do anything that he doesn't want to do, and impeachment is the only answer.
I thank you very much, Dan, for the call. And as a corollary here, and I just wonder, with all these U.S. attorneys being pulled out of their jobs and political hacks being substituted, are they expecting that subpoenas could happen, that their administration would be investigated? And is that why they're pulling out all of these U.S. attorneys? There was one who was investigating, the same U.S. attorney in San Diego, who was investigating Kyle Dusty Fargo. Dusty Fargo, that U.S. attorney, and she's the one who put Duke Cunningham in the pokey, that one has been pulled out of her job. That one. And there are about eight more. 349-1320. Jay in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jay.
Enid, this is Jay from Sacramento.
Yes.
Actually, I moved to the Bay Area. I called in a while back, quite a few months ago. And I'm in the Bay Area. I talked to Quake Radio and complained about how their lack of progressiveness in the Bay Area. So they changed their whole format. And I'm welcoming back Mike Malloy and everybody else. But anyway, my comment is that I feel that there's an onslaught against our democratic principles here in America. And there's a power struggle going on this day and age between the 1% that run the wealth of this country and the rest of us. And what we need to do is hold the Democrats' feet to the fire and make them speak up for us as the people here and not let the propaganda machine...
Okay, so how are we going to do it?
Huh?
How do we do it?
Just like we're doing. We're starting new media. We're trying to bring on new media and new information where we can re-educate the American population. Because the school system...
Wait a minute. Do you think that new media is going to do it? Or do you think if we bombard our representatives, the Democrats, with emails, with phone calls, with letters, all of that?
Everything that we can possibly do to take on this Bush dynasty and the cronies we need to do in order so we can get our country back. And another thing about Iraq, the situation in Iraq has just deteriorated so much, we've lost all our credibility because of the savageness of some of our politicians. What we are going to need to do, I think, is to bring in the UN. I know we snubbed the UN a while back, but what we need to do is bring in the UN, give them all those billions that we're spending on these corporations, and have them help us resolve this problem in Iraq.
All right, now wait. All right, so you want to bring in the UN, you want to bombard our representatives, and you're saying the new media will do it. I don't know if it's enough, but there certainly has to be some kind of a groundswell. People have to scream about this.
Everything we can do, because we don't control hardly anything. We need to take back our country.
I agree. I'll hear on that one, Jay. Thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What are your thoughts about what Jay had to say? How do we take back... the country. How do we do this? What do we do to really let the Democrats know that we are serious about this and that this administration is completely out of control, that there isn't anything that we can do to keep this man who is delusional from sending these troops in? I mean, how can we finally step on the gas with Democrats? 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Enid, is slow-moving traffic at southbound 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. It looks like we have eastbound 50 northbound I-5, a two-car crash in Howe Avenue at Power Inn Road. There is a vehicle there right-hand side blocking the freeway service and the on-ramp as well, southbound 99 just south of Fruit Ridge Road. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's all about
Metro PCS presents more scenes from other wireless stores.
How's 1,000 free minutes sound?
Wow, are they anytime minutes?
Well, they're anytime minutes.
That's what I said.
You said anytime minutes.
So did you.
I said anytime minutes.
I just thought you said anytime with like a little accent.
Well, that's what I wanted you to think.
Okay, so what are any time minutes?
Well, they're like any time minutes, only the window of time where you can actually use them is very small. It's any, if you will.
How small?
Sundays from 4:11 a.m. to 4:12 a.m.
Wow, that's eeny weeny.
I love rhymes.
Stop counting minutes. Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. For $40 a month, you get all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And there's no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8 for a store near you or buy online at metropcs.com. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, that discordant note is exactly what you hear from this administration on a regular basis. And why aren't we screaming about it? We're talking about many things, as usual. It's hard to reprise all the things that we talk about because we stop a lot of places on any given show. You just sort of have to, it's a train. You just got to get on at any point and then hang on for dear life and we go. We're talking about Al Franken, and he is exploring the possibility of running for Senate from Minnesota. We have heard about that for a long time. I think he'll do it. I think the point for him is whether or not somebody who's a comedian can become a senator, but someone who's a real joke has become a president, so I don't see how it could be much of a stumbling block. What are your thoughts about that? Will you miss his show, or are you over his show? Are you so over him that you're happy to see him go, or what's the story? Because the minute he starts to run, and I bet he does run, his show's going to go off the air. And we are talking also about this non-binding resolution that has been put together by Joe Biden, Carl Levin, Chuck Hagel, about going to war. Will it have any effect at all? The Democrats are in a tough place because if they withhold money, everybody's going to say, you are not supporting our troops. How do we proceed? We want, this administration is completely out of control. Maybe impeachment is the only answer. Catherine in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I'm a big supporter of KCTC, and it's the first time I've called you in
I think a very long time.
Well, thank you. We're delighted that you are.
Okay, but I did see you at the Crest with Al Franken, and I thought you did a very effective job talking with him. I think that Al Franken would be a marvelous addition to the U.S. Senate. In particular, the issue that I'm concerned about is the attacks that Norm Coleman made on the United Nations. And if you look at the Nation magazine, which you also have some promos for sometimes, January 8th, 15th issue, Ian Coleman is the United Nations representative at the Nation magazine. He says that Coleman was part of the malicious swift voting of the United Nations about the oil for food scandal.
Well, Coleman is a very slippery character. He is a very slippery guy who, only because Paul Wellstone died in that plane crash, as he got that seat.
Right. And Franken, you know, he is a serious man. He's a comedian, but he's a serious man in terms of the truth, and as he shows every day in his show 9 to 12, and he knows how to stick up for the truth, and Coleman deserves him as an opponent.
I think it will be a juicy conflict to watch, a juicy opposition, a juicy candidacy. So are you going to miss his show, Catherine?
Well, yeah, but I would rather see him in the Senate.
Okay, where you can do...
I'd rather see him in the Senate. That would be marvelous. He'd be a catalyst.
I think he would. I think he would. But I think he would. I think. I wonder if he would like. If he will like being in the Senate as a comedian and as a radio talk host. And here I can speak from experience. You are very free willing. But if you're running in a campaign where if you say just the wrong thing, and that's why there. That's why John Kerry, the handlers, he was so buttoned up, much to his detriment, as a matter of fact. But if you say the wrong thing, you got to walk that line. You can lose it all. And if you are a senator, you are probably straitjacketed in a lot of ways. You're not going to be as freewheeling as you have been as a radio talk host or as a comedian or as a writer for Saturday Night Live or as a performer.
I think exactly, but he has really self-discipline in terms of what he says. I've watched him and listened to him, and I consider issues and how to talk about things. He knows how to talk about
things. Yeah, he does. Well, I thank you very much, and thank you for the kind words, too. I appreciate them, Catherine.
You're certainly welcome.
Thanks. 349-1320-866. 626-1320. Okay, a non-binding resolution. It sounds like a girdle that's lost its spring. So tell me, is this going to work? This is the key line in this resolution. And here it's been signed by Joe Biden, Carl Levin, and Chuck Hagel, who is the Republican here, and Bob Scheer is so, the writer, is so enamored of Chuck Hagel that he said he'd vote for him for president, even though he's a Republican, and I don't know that he's running for president. The key line in this non-binding document is not in the national interest of the United States to deepen its military involvement in Iraq, particularly by escalating the U.S. presence in Iraq. What do you think? Is this going to go anywhere? So here's a resolution, and so then they pass the resolution, and so then what happens? They pass the resolution, and Dickey says, yeah, so what? I sent everybody in already. I did that last week before you did your resolution, before I even spoke to the nation. They were all on their way. They were on that plane, and I don't care what you say. 349-1320, what can we do here? What can we do? How can we make ourselves heard? How can we handle this? And then you have Alberto Gonzalez, that mediocrity, who's, oh, here is John Boehner, who Randy Rhodes always likes to call John Boehner. He says he is admitting, he's a House Republican leader, and he is admitting that his party is low, quote, low on new ideas. Well, they're low on a lot of things. They're low on intelligence. They're low on ethics. They're low on honesty. They're, you know, how low can they go? It's a race to the bottom. He is the House Minority Leader. He admitted to roll call, which is a political publication on the Hill, that his party was running low on ideas, making it difficult for the Republican Party to move forward while it is in the minority. He says you could say that our reservoir of new ideas is low. To some extent, you could argue that we got lazy. Well, they had everything they wanted for a long time. They were able to pull the wool over a lot of people's eyes for a long time. Not yours, not mine, but a lot of other people. A few days after the president announced his plans to send 21,500 extra troops to Iraq, U.S. Rep. John Murtha picked up a copy of Sun Tzu's The Art of War, which I have, and which I have not yet read. I've had it for a long time. Everybody refers to it. I think it is a required text in military academies. It was written centuries ago. The head of some of the big talent agencies in Hollywood swear by it. The Art of War by Sun Tzu, T-Z-U. It says, Murtha says, you don't go to war unless you're threatened, unless you think you can win, and you can make sure you have your troops prepared when they go. The U.S. war in Iraq, he says, has violated all of these prerequisites sent centuries ago by the ancient Chinese military tactician, Sun Tzu, even though the president, in his primetime address to the nation last week, described Iraq as a central front in the wider global campaign against terrorism. What can we do to make ourselves heard? How can we do this? Do we email? Do we barrage our leaders? What do we do? And in a related but unrelated story, the Justice Department announced today that the National Security Agency's controversial warrantless surveillance program has been placed under the authority of a secret surveillance court. I don't know if that's anything much better. Maybe it's slightly better. Marking an abrupt change in approach by the Bush administration after more than a year of heated debate. In a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, a mediocrity, said that orders issued on January 10 by an unidentified judge puts the NSA program under the authority of the FISA court. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, a secret panel that oversees most intelligence surveillance in the U.S. Gonzalez also wrote that the current NSA program will effectively be abandoned after its current authorization expires in favor of the new approach. And I'm not sure when it will expire, but there you go. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So the secret court is now going to govern the wiretapping plan. Ben in SAC, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Hi, Ben.
Hey there, this is Ben from White Rose.
Oh, Ben! I should remind people that any time you've missed one of my programs, Ben, who is our listener right here, archives them at the White Rose Society, at whiterosesociety.org, whiterosesociety.org. Welcome, Ben.
Well, you know, thank you. Pardon my dachshund there. Here, I'll close the door of the office.
Well, does your dachshund speak a language that we can understand and converse in?
It sounds vaguely German to me, but it must not be Hauptdeutsch, because I don't get it.
Well, you better not call your dachshund a pet, because he's going to rebel. The proper designation is domestic companion.
That is correct.
Yes.
That is correct. I think I know how we can manage to make Georgie Boy hurt for doing what he's doing when the Congress says no.
All right. The Congress is afraid. They're making noises about withholding the money, and they're making it's a non-binding resolution, which will have no effect. It's like he says, "Screw you! I'm doing what I want, and I don't care." It's Barney, me, and Laura, and Cheney. We're all on the same page. Okay, Ben. What's the answer?
Well, you don't withhold the money to the military. You withhold all of the money that is going to subsidies for oil exploration.
Ooh, well, you know that there is that executive in the Interior Department who is in the soup because there was a glitch in the contracts. She knew about it. She did nothing. And so zillions, billions, millions of dollars in oil revenues that should come to the government have not.
Right. What you do is you make them hurt in other ways. You can do that. And the other thing you can do is you can pass a resolution of Congress declaring, for example, that Halliburton Corporation is in violation of the Trading with the Enemies Act and seizes funds.
Oh, that would be so wonderful.
Same as was done with Bush's grandfather.
Do you think that there's anybody who would be willing to take that road in the Senate or in Congress?
Well, I don't know if anybody has the round spherical things for it there. But,
or conical in some instances.
They have to be made of brass, I suppose. But, you know, there are some people like Dennis Kucinich who would propose such a thing, at least in the Congress.
Why don't you email Dennis Kucinich?
I think I will. I owe him an email anyway for some other things.
Email him and email Levin and email Waxman and email Berman.
Because, you know, we can do this. We can do this without saying we're not supporting the troops. Okay. We're supporting the troops. We're giving them every bullet they need. But you know what else? We're going to hurt you in some other way until you stop.
Oh, I really like that. Okay, Ben, make them suffer. Where it hurts the most. Where it hurts the most, it's not the blood that counts for them. It's the money.
Correct.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ben Birch from WhiteRoseSociety.org. So let me recommend that you check out that website. And if you have missed one of my shows, they are archived right there. Donald in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Donald.
Hey, Enid. You know, the thing is, as much as I hate to say it, there is absolutely nothing that we can do to stop this surge now. What we could have done was about 2.5 years ago, pick somebody besides John Kerry to run against Bush.
Well, that was...
At this point, there is absolutely nothing from impeachment, which would not be finished with the way that the Congress would do it. It would not be finished until after the next election. Cutting off the funds, even at this point, the appropriations have already been set for this year, so he can spend them as he pleases. That's kind of the nasty thing this little bugger's been doing. There really is nothing we can do, no matter how much we scream, no matter how strong the Congress tries to do something. We are literally tied with this guy being able to be the maniac that he is. This is the problem.
Isn't this amazing? I mean, isn't this just amazing that we are stuck with this delusional, very evil, but he's in an amiable kind of wrapping paper. You know, looks like he's medicated, deer in the headlights look on his face, utterly incognizant and completely evil, completely corrupt inside.
Well, and the thing is, I blame the country. I really do.
Well, you, and that's a legitimate blame. That's a legitimate criticism.
Look at his reaction as governor of Texas to executing a woman, where he laughs and imitates her. Look at the fact that he was interviewed about heads of state of foreign country, and he got mad at the interviewers. I got people that will answer them questions for me. These are things that were in the 2000 election. I was screaming at people, don't vote for this guy. I don't care if Al Gore's a robot.
And you know what? It fell on deaf ears because people liked him. People vote with their hearts. They don't vote with their heads. They make emotional connections, and they decide they like him better than they liked Al Gore, who seemed stuffy, and he was wearing earth tones, and he seemed a little bit condescending, and people said, I've had enough of that. I'm going for Dickey.
The only thing I will say in argument to that, though, who won the general election?
Well, probably Al Gore did. Actually, this
Al
guy.
Gore did.
Actually, I think my own heart of hearts. I believe that Bush lost twice, narrowly, and that it was a stolen election both times.
It definitely was. Nowhere in the Constitution, and as a person who's read the Constitution pretty thoroughly, nowhere ever does the Supreme Court have anything to do with the elections. Ever, ever, ever. It always goes to legislative. It would have went to the legislative. It would have been a tied vote. It would have been broken by the vice president. Gee, who was that at the time? You know, and so these Republicans, they stole an election, and our media did not do anything about it. Our media said, oh, well, the Supreme Court said it was okay.
Everybody has been asleep. The American public has been asleep. The media has been asleep. The reporters did you no favors, except for people, and courageous people like Helen Thomas, and they marginalized her. You are absolutely right, Donald, and I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, thank you very much, Enid. We have lows tonight, 33. Sunny, no clouds, they say, on Thursday. Highs 54. And lows tomorrow night, about 30 degrees. We're at 59 in the Sacramento. Traffic a little slow down. That's on 99, of course. 50 going on to, it looks like, Watt Avenue. There's a two-car crash. Things are slowed down there as well on I-5 and at J Street. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento. Left Channel.
People have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
New rule number one, no more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... Alright, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320.
Five on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. We're getting closer and closer to that weekend. The Bush administration said today that it will launch a new, listen to this, a new travel security system designed to deal with the problem of innocent travelers mistakenly identified as being on U.S. no-fly list. This included Senator Ted Kennedy was on a no-fly, this is like being detained in Guantanamo, where you know, it's like Roach Motel. They check in, but they don't check out. You get in on one of these lists, you are forever on a no-fly list. It doesn't matter if you're Ted Kennedy or if you were John Doe. That's it. Well, now you're going to be able to apply to get off of these no-fly lists. The Department of Homeland Insecurity, the Traveler Redress Inquiry Program. Can't they make it simple? You know, I have friends who are English who just laugh at the way we complicate the Traveler Redress Inquiry Program, dubbed TRIP, is billed as a voluntary one-stop process allowing people to seek a review if they've been wrongly delayed or prevented from boarding a plane or barred from entering or leaving the U.S. 349-1320. Britain signals plans to reduce, not increase, its troop levels in Iraq. I don't know if I have mentioned that, but there it is. Let's head over to the phones and to Dennis in Camino. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Enid. Basically, I just got a little overexcited. I got home, turned the radio on, and there you were, and I hadn't heard you in years and years.
Oh, well, I'm delighted that you found us again. How'd you find AM 1320?
Well, I've been listening to that on and off, but just haven't heard you on, you know, I haven't heard you on there yet, and this was the first time, and I'm just so excited because you always had, you know, this is years ago, but you always had people from both sides talking, you know, and it wasn't just, you know, one way.
So what are you saying, Dennis? You want more people from, you want me to get more Republicans on?
Well, I like the dialogue when people, because most of us live in the middle, you know. I was in Vietnam in the Marine Corps, and I went through two tours of that, and I can relate to the kids now. I'm kind of, you know, I'm a, I guess, a blue dog Democrat. But
I know that we have a lot of Republican listeners, a lot of conservative listeners. We've had some great people on, like Dan Schnur. We haven't had a lot of Republicans on because a lot of them are kind of dull.
Right.
But beyond that, 99.9% of talk radio continues to be conservative, male-dominated, conservative-dominated, Republican-dominated, and I suppose and the other side is so underrepresented that I really haven't gone out of my way to do that.
Well, I think that's what's turning people off. I've noticed, like, my relatives up in Washington, you know, they used to listen to Rush Limbaugh 24/7 if they could, and I notice now, you know, people...
Well, when has he ever been balanced? When has that guy ever been balanced? He's an unbalanced guy in a lot of other ways, but when did he ever present both sides? And if he didn't have a negative other side to prevent, he would concoct it. He makes it up as he goes along.
Exactly, and I think that's what the success of your type of radio was in the early days, was people, you know, could hear both sides of the story. People... You know, we know out here living in the real world that my neighbor, he's a Republican, but he's not a jerk. He's not a fool.
Well, he's not a jerk. He's not a fool, but he probably voted for George Bush a couple of times.
I'm sure he did, and, you know, we've talked about it. But the main point I'm trying to make is seeing you back on the air kind of gives me hope that we're not going to take the same road. I already hear some of the... You know, sometimes people like Randy Rhodes, you know, like every Republican's a bad person. I think that's what's going to shoot the people are tired of that and getting tireder of it. And I think it's good the way you do it. Everybody gets to speak. And, you know, when they say something you don't agree with, you never jump down their throat. You just presented your point.
Well, you're very kind. Sometimes I do jump down their throats, but I do try to listen to all sides of it. And I do encourage people from the other side to call in, and a lot of times they do.
Well, that's great. I just wanted to tell you how excited I was to hear you back on, and keep up the great work.
Dennis, thank you so much. I appreciate your wonderful phone call. Thank
all
you,
right,
Dennis.
Thank you.
What do you think about what Dennis had to say? Dennis thinks I ought to have more of Republicans on, or conservatives, people from the other side. How did the rest of you feel about that? I'm always of the mindset. Oh, and by the way, I just want to tell you, I haven't told you this. We are going to be carrying, the State of the Union address is, I think, next Tuesday, if I've got that correct. Next Tuesday, and I think the president is scheduled to speak at 6 o'clock, Dickie, and we think that the speech will go about an hour or so. So we will bring it to you live, as we have been doing, and then Enid Live will go long. We'll have a special session of Enid Live so that you can weigh in on the State of the Union address. Now, a lot of you are going to blow it off. You're not going to listen to it. You're home. You think, ugh, same old, same old. But, if you know, it's theater. I think you ought to listen to it. And as I have said before, instead of hurling a shoe at the TV set or screaming at your dachshund, call us and we will have a discussion about it. Now, I don't know, you know, what do you think about what Dennis had to say about having more Republicans on, more the other side? The way we do it here, we tend to do it, is many of you who are listening are of, you know, an indeterminate persuasion. You're not, maybe not an independent, not a liberal exactly, but not a Republican either, not a conservative. I mean, we're all sort of, we are occupy different positions on different issues. So I'd love to have some feedback from you on that subject and the kind of talk radio that you listen to. It's useful for me to hear it. But I know we have a lot of Republicans who listen, and I urge any of you who disagree, particularly those of you who disagree with me, to call in. You will have a forum here. We might not, you know, it might be a little bit of a dust up, but you will always be heard. You will always have a forum, and it's a great way to get a conversation going. 349-1320 866 626 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of, and Wednesday is a great going out night, edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Enid, some slow-moving traffic northbound Cap City Freeway just north of E Street, and also there at Exhibition Boulevard right by Cap City Freeway. A disabled vehicle is blocking traffic. It looks like it's stopping things down on the on-ramp at westbound 50 just west of Hazel Avenue, so go a little slow there. And widen at Hoffman. That vehicle on the right-hand side is really stopping traffic in northbound Cap City Freeway just north of El Camino Avenue. We have a two-car crash. There are injuries, and emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. Otherwise, I think your drive home's going to be pretty good. A little slow I-5 and a J Street due to a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
According to Enid, reception free. Call her now at 349-1320.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We just had a call from Dennis. And Dennis says he likes hearing the other side when we talk about it. Now, a lot of you are sick to death of hearing the other side because that's all you get on talk radio. And I wonder what your thoughts are. I know that there are a lot of Republicans and conservatives who listen to Enid Live and listen to AM 1320 and listen to The Morning Retort with Scott and Sims. And I encourage people of any other persuasion but mine to call in. I encourage everybody to call in because it's a great conversation. If everybody was always on the same page, then it kind of gets a little old a little fast. But I love the rough and tumble. And sometimes I can be persuaded out of my opinion. So I'm wondering, I would love to have some feedback from some of you on this issue.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Since it was made public, the Bush administration has defended its domestic surveillance program as necessary and legal. But now, as CBS News White House correspondent Jim Axelrod reports, they've changed their position.
The president said this was, quote, one of the most critical and effective tools in the war on terror. And the administration spent more than a year arguing he had full legal authority to order the warrantless eavesdropping. But we should make the point about this about face that the eavesdropping won't stop at all. It's just that the requests will have to now be monitored by a judge.
One thing is clear, and that's that Bush has folded under pressure from the ACLU and other American citizens who believed that we needed to have court approval before the executive branch could wiretap our phones.
Ann Beeson is legal director at the ACLU. As President Bush huddled with Republican members of Congress today, at least one of them, Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel, was joining Democrats in proposing a resolution against the new strategy in Iraq. Foreign Relations Chairman Joe Biden says it's meant to send a message.
That support is not there for the president's policy in Iraq. The sooner he recognizes that reality and acts on it, the better off all of us will be.
Bad idea, says White House spokesman Tony Snow.
What it does is something that no commander-in-chief, I think, would want to have, which is it binds the hands of the commander-in-chief and also the generals, and frankly also the troops on the ground.
The resolution would not be binding, but if enough Republicans support it, it would be a significant rebuke to the president. In 2004, for the second year in a row, cancer deaths declined in this country.
This is not a fluke. I think it actually is a true phenomenon.
Dr. Felice Schnoll-Sussman, a cancer specialist in New York, credits early detection and better treatment. She says we must be doing something right. Trying to take off from Louisville, Kentucky on the morning of August 27th, Comair Flight 5191 crashed and burned because the runway it used was too short. Cockpit voice recordings and transcripts released today suggest the pilots were confused. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the story.
Just before dawn, the Comair crew checks in. All's well.
Good morning, Comair 191.
The tower puts them on the right runway, the longer lighted runway 22.
Comair 191, taxi to runway 22, 2 minutes.
And the crew acknowledges that instruction. But then there's some confusion. Co-pilot James Polhinke asks about runway 24. There isn't a runway 24. He rolls the plane down the wrong strip, the shorter unlit runway 26, and comments, weird with no lights. Seconds later, the plane crashes. The tower calls the fire department.
Go ahead. This is Lexington Alert 3, west side of the runway.
The crash killed 49 people, everyone on board except the co-pilot. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Comair says the pilots violated a rule against extraneous cockpit conversation. Today on Wall Street, the Dow down 5 points to 12,577. The Nasdaq lost 18. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Kenny Mayne. Safe, good drivers like Vern here, who switched to Progressive Direct last year, saved hundreds of dollars. So, Vern, what did you do with the savings?
I made my car even safer.
How?
Linked a PA system to my blinker here and...
I plan on turning left. I plan on turning left.
Okay, good times. Progressive rewards good drivers with great savings. You can use those savings to do things like Vern here. Or not. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Rates and potential savings will vary.
Each and every one of us can be infected with influenza, a serious and often deadly infection. In fact, one out of every five Americans will get influenza this season. I'm Dr. Julie Gerberding, Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I'd like to encourage everyone who wants to be protected from the flu to get vaccinated this season. This is especially important for people at high risk for influenza-related complications.
A message brought to you by the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Cold weather is ruining California's citrus crop, but if you drink OJ, you might not have much to worry about. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the story from Florida.
You'll probably pay more for orange juice, but not necessarily a lot more.
In California, the vast majority, only almost 80-90% of that product goes to the fresh fruit markets.
Florida Citrus Mutual Executive Director Mike Sparks says Florida oranges make up about 90% of the juice market. He says growers here are empathetic about what's happened in California. Deep freeze nearly destroyed the Florida citrus industry during the 80s, and the state took a huge hit during the 2004 and 5 hurricane seasons. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Early morning frost in Palm Desert, California delayed today's start of the Bob Hope Classic. It was pushed back by 45 minutes to let the courses warm up. The tournament is the third stop on the 2007 PGA Tour. It's attracted 128 golfers, including two-time champ Phil Mickelson. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Now, 349-1320.
be our theme song vis-a-vis the administration. Save us from this deluded madman who is our president. 349-1320-866-626-1320. This is how you participate in Enid Live. If you're just getting out of being incarcerated all day long in your office and in your car, let me just tell you where we have been. We have been to the White House numerous times here. The Scooter Libby trial is underway. The litmus test for jury selection, at least from the defense's point of view, is to find enough people who trust Dick Cheney. I don't know, are they going to get enough to make a jury? You tell me. And we think that Scooter Libby is lying on behalf of Dick Cheney. We think Dick Cheney is the guy who leaked, and I don't mean in the men's room either. I mean when it comes to the outing of Valerie Plame as being an undercover CIA agent. That's what I think, and a lot of people think that, and I think the prosecutors think that as well from the accounts that I have seen. We have also been talking about Arnold's idea of universal health care, which Sheila Kuehl says is preposterous. It's not universal at all. It's going to burden the poor unfairly. Everybody's going to be required to do it, but everybody's supposed to have auto insurance either, and that's not universal. It doesn't happen. 25% don't, and that's why we have uninsured motorists. And when she's looking at the details of Arnold's health plan, it's horrible. There's no cap on the premiums. There's no floor on what the insurance companies can offer you. They can charge you the earth and offer you very little for it, and it goes on and on. And employers are sometimes unduly burdened, and the doctors are screaming about having to give up 2% of their gross incomes. And guess what? The Republicans hate the idea. So we've been talking about that. We've also been talking about the fact that you can now apply. It's like being in a labyrinth of in a particular corridor of hell. You get in, you can't get out. If you are on a no-fly list, if you're Senator Kennedy, who was on a no-fly list, don't ask me why. Let's say you have an enemy, a bureaucratic enemy, who just decides to put your name in there. Or your name is a common name and is the same as somebody who really could be a terrorist, although there are all these precautions and they haven't caught very many terrorists, hardly any. They throw them in Guantanamo. And then if some of these big law firms represent these people pro bono, which means at no charge, then you had somebody, a high-level official, saber-rattling, threatening those law firms, and calling for the businesses, the big corporations that retain those law firms, to cut their ties with any law firms that provide pro bono counsel or representation for these Guantanamo detainees. I mean, this is a preposterous administration. And now what they're doing, in a little known provision in the Patriot Act, which was inserted by, of all people, Senator Arlen Specter, they are pulling out about 7, 8, 9 U.S. attorneys and replacing them with political hacks who have hardly any experience. So I don't know if they're anticipating subpoenas down the line. I don't know what they're anticipating, but they are packing the courts with their own people. So you may have comments about that as well. The warrantless wiretaps, the administration has agreed to let the FISA courts oversee that. So that's a concession on their part. And the long and the short of it is, this delusional madman of a president that we have can do whatever he wants, and nobody. There is a non-binding resolution that Chuck Hagel has signed. It's bipartisan. Joe Biden has signed. Carl Levin has signed it. So it'll pass probably. And then what? So what? It's non-binding. Then what happens? If we withhold the money, the power of the purse here, then the Democrats are going to be blamed for not supporting our troops. One of our callers, Ben Birch from WhiteRoseSociety.org, and by the way, if you ever miss one of my shows, he archives them. WhiteRoseSociety.org is how you can find my archived shows that you might have missed. Just go to that website. He can always use a contribution, too, as a matter of fact. You can help him out. He does really great work on behalf of Progressive Radio, Talk Radio. So, in any event, you can, this administration, I mean, what can we do? His idea was that you withhold these contracts from places like Halliburton, that you you cite them for trading with the enemies act, but still then stuff wouldn't get done in Iraq. So I don't know what we can do exactly, if there's anything we can do. You now have Hillary ratcheting up her stance when it comes to the troop surge, and that's because Barack Obama, who never voted for the authorization to begin with, is in the race. John Edwards, who I don't think voted for it either, is in the race. So she's got to make herself viable, and she's got to stake out a place. Where do you think she stands? Let me ask you this question. Where is Hillary vis-a-vis Barack Obama and John Edwards? If you're looking in the tea leaves and tell me Who is going to be the winning ticket here? Does anybody have a sense? You know, I am a big fan of Barack's, but somehow he's looking a little bit callow to me lately. A little bit thin on experience, but nobody can be thinner on experience than that joke in the White House, which I have said about Al Franken, who is apparently reaching out to Democrats. Looks like he's very seriously ratcheting up the possibility of running for Senate from the state of Minnesota. He's going to challenge Norm Coleman. Which means that he will be off the air. He won't be on Air America Radio if that happens. So you're going to miss him. And apparently one of the potential stumbling blocks is can a comedian be elected to the Senate? Well, you got a joke as a president, so I don't see why a comedian cannot be elected to the Senate. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-620-6320, and we had a call from Dennis, who's thrilled that I'm back on the air, but he thinks I should have more Republicans on. Do you agree with that, or are there enough places where you can find lots of Republicans? We have many, many of you who are don't agree with me, who are Republicans, who are conservative. And you are always free to call, and we will always entertain your opinions. We might not agree. We might think you're completely as delusional as our commander-in-chief, but you will always be able to express yourself here on Enid Live. These are all of our airwaves. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let's head over to the phones. And Frank, calling from SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Enid. This is Frank. My comment on the troop surge is we have to be smarter than these cardboard cowboys like George Bush. They need to give him the troop surge plus, because if you look back at Admiral Shinseki and anyone with two brain cells to rub together, they said 350 to 450,000 troops.
Well, I thought he said about 350.
Well, okay, I'm sure that you're probably accurate there, but the point is that this moron is just hoping that he doesn't get his 28,000 authorized so he can blame someone else. He is an economic traitor. He's burying us like no one else ever has, other than Ronald Reagan's. And it's, you know, there's a section in the Constitution to deal with a leader who will not respond to the
All right.
People.
So if you impeach him, somebody pointed out, it'll take you 2 years to get him out.
And if it's the last day, it's worth it, because the last week he's going to be busily resigning and getting pardoned by Dick Cheney.
Well, okay. If we don't get both of them out, can you do two at the same time?
Well, yeah, there is a section in the Constitution that says that if the government's not responsive to the will of the people, it's your duty to overthrow that government.
To overthrow them. Well, you know, what we like to say is that Nancy Pelosi is two indictments away from the presidency.
Well, that's what we need. We need some indictments. We need that SOB out of there.
SOB is right. You got that right, Frank. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320. I agree with Frank. And here is an LA Times poll. Listen to this. A commanding majority of Americans oppose President Bush's decision to send more troops to Iraq, and just over a commanding majority of Americans oppose Dickey's decision to send more troops to Iraq, and just over half the country wants Congress to block the deployment. As he seeks to chart a new course in Iraq, Bush also faces pervasive resistance and skepticism toward the U.S. Commitment. More than three-fifths of those surveyed said the war was not worth fighting, and only one-third approved of the handling of the conflict. Let me tell you, I'm going to say it again. The Iraqis don't want us in there. The generals don't want us in there. The military doesn't want to go. They don't want to. The Congress doesn't want us in there. The American people doesn't want us in there. Don't want us in there. So who is left? Who is left? Just Dickey, Barney, Laura, and Dick Cheney. That's it. Four of them want us. That's it. Four people. Are really decimating this country. Well, really, the two dicks. Laura is along for the ride. She's, you know, she smokes cigarettes and listens. That's what she does. And has a facelift every once in a while, apparently. But here's a commanding majority. Well, does anybody care? No, they're big on American Idol. American Idol is what everybody is talking. If you go listening to all the talk shows, everybody is talking about American Idol today. Now, you can talk about it if you want. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confide something in you. So don't tell anybody I said this, but I am perhaps the last person on the planet who is an American Idol virgin. I don't think I've ever seen that show. If I have, I've just surfed over it. It just sounds like amateur hour to me. So with a little cutting edge of cruelty and heartbreak thrown in as a condiment. So I don't know. Call me silly. Call me nutso. It hasn't really intrigued me. Instead, I'm touting films like Notes on a Scandal, which is just superbly written, superbly acted, and nobody cares. It'll be in the movie theaters for 2 seconds, and then it'll be out, because this isn't what America wants to see. I want to go see Borat, though. It's already gone, but maybe they'll bring it back, because I think he's hilarious. And I loved when he played Ali G, the Ali G show, and he had Andy Rooney on, and Andy Rooney got so testy with him because he really thought he was as dumb as the character he played and didn't know that he was dealing with someone who was putting him on who actually has a Cambridge education. I mean, it's really pretty astonishing. And Andy Rooney, boy, his bushy eyebrows, you could have tipped him over and swept up a 4 or 5 streets with those bushy eyebrows that were working themselves up into a real swivet, if I can tell you. 349-1320-866-620-1320. And we are going to run the State of the Union speech, Dickey's speech. I believe it's Tuesday night. It is scheduled for 6 Pacific, and we think it'll probably go for about an hour. So we're going to carry it in its entirety. You know, I'll make my comments over it here and there, wherever I think appropriate. And, we just had a call from Cheryl. She said that she's an American Idol virgin, too. Do we have a lot of American Idol virgins? You know, virgin. There are no virgins left in America. The only place you find virgins is in wool and olive oil, but that's another story. And those of us who don't have cell phones and are American Idol virgins. So if there are any more of you, we can talk about that too. This is what the country cares about. I don't think a lot of people listen to Arnold's State of the State address. I don't think it was billed as an historic speech, Dickey's speech about the surge. Not too many people listen to that. And probably a lot of people are not going to listen to the State of the Union address. It's like, let's go shopping, same old, same old, same old spin. But we are going to bring it to you live because we are hopeless here, and because we care about a democracy, and because we think you're smart, and because we think you care, and we will talk about it afterwards. So don't go watching television. You can watch it on TV. I want you to listen to it on the radio at the same time. Well, maybe not. It might not work. We're on a delay. But I want you to call in afterwards so we can talk about it. Steve in Marysville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I just got one comment. If no one believes in the war and it's so bad, then why did all the Democrats vote for it?
They didn't vote for the war.
Didn't vote for the war.
No. You got to get this, Steve. You got to get this straight. They voted to give the president authorization if he needed it, if he decided that we needed to go to war. That's what the Democrats did. They didn't vote for this war. They voted to give him authorization for whatever war he needed to fight.
The debate was to take Saddam out, and that's what they did.
They voted, I'm going to tell you again, so you can tell me the earth is flat and you can believe it, but I'm going to tell you again that they voted to give him authorization. They didn't vote specifically for the war.
Okay, well, if...
So do some research. Do some research.
Get out of it.
What?
If everyone's got this, they're critiquing George Bush and his policies, well, then give me a good plan to fix the situation.
All right, let me ask you, where are you, Steve, where are you? Where are you on this issue? Where are you? Do you think we belong in Iraq?
You know what? I think that if the American people have lost the will to fight this war to the end, then we need to come home. That's what I think.
Were you, okay, then you're on board with the rest of us. Were you in favor of it all the way through?
I think getting rid of a person like that in that part of the region was a good thing. But if the American people can't stomach what happens...
But wait a minute. We got rid of him. We got rid of him. And what did it have to do with 9/11? And how did it make anything better?
Well,
now we have McTotter. He's even worse.
When you talk about 9/11, you say that the terrorists didn't do it. Well, then who convinced those guys to learn how to fly but not land it in Florida? In Florida.
Steve?
And Steve? For the Bush administration.
Steve?
I don't get that.
Yes, I see you don't. And let me just tell you, let me help you out here. Those were Saudis. 15 of the 19 hijackers were Saudi Arabians. They had nothing to do with Iraq. Even the president admits that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11.
No, you're right.
So there was no connection. Why we went in and squandered, this is already more than $1 trillion. This war has cost every man, woman, and child in America could get about, I don't know how many thousands of dollars per person for what we have spent on this war. And we have accomplished nothing. We have only made it worse. And when our first responders are there, if anything happens to us here, we are really stuck.
Let me ask you this. Do the Democrats care about the sick, the unfortunate, the people that can't take care of themselves?
I'm sure.
Why don't they feel the same way when it comes to the people over there that were getting gassed, raped, thrown down grinders?
Well, then where would we, wait a minute, where do we start? There are worse dictators in Africa than this in Saddam Hussein, where their genocide is being practiced on a routine basis. So do we go to every country and then make it worse? We didn't make it better in Iraq. Have we made it better in Iraq, Steve?
No, we haven't, but we got to pick our fights.
Yes, we do have to pick our fights. So why didn't we finish it off in Afghanistan? And why is Osama bin Laden still hooked up to his dialysis machine, frequenting tanning parlors and getting pedicures?
Well, I'm kind of glad we don't have as many troops in Afghanistan, because then that gives the Pakistanis a reason to fight for us. And they have been doing that, and you can't say they haven't. But I got to ask you one quick question.
Well, I'm waiting.
Oh, my phone's losing you.
Okay, goodbye. Bye. Thank you for the call. What do you think about what Steve had to say? Steve is, I mean, please help me out here. What are your thoughts about what Steve had to say? I mean, clearly, I think Steve is a ditto head. I should have asked him. Frank in Folsom, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, I just had a quick question.
We were in the Department of Redundancy Department. Live with Enid, yes.
Yeah, I just had a question about some of these. You're always saying how George Bush lies about everything, so, and then you deride people for not listening to the State of the Union. I mean, maybe people just don't want to hear the same old thing rehashed over and over and over again.
Well, that is a point, but don't you think, should we not run it?
Well, no, but also, I mean, the other thing is...
Now, Frank, you wrote me an email, and you were never going to listen to me again, but I see you've come back, and thank goodness for that.
I've never emailed you.
Oh, it wasn't you? It was a different Frank?
I don't know. I've never sent you an email. But then the other question I had was, you know, a little while ago...
Go ahead. Yes?
From the other side, sort of, you know, talk and say what they had to, but you just kind of shouted that other guy, Steve, or whatever his name was, down.
I think he made his points. He said he wanted to say one more thing, and I said, yes, what is it? And then his phone died. But I think he certainly made every point that he wanted to make, don't you think, Frank?
Well, no, I don't know. But
tell me, all right, tell me what point you want to make. Are you going to use me as a pinata today? Hello, Frank, are you there?
No. My point is this, Edith. I mean, if it's true that George Bush is a liar and everything he's going to say next week at the State of the Union is a lie, then why waste your time listening to it?
Because I think we're amused to hear what levels of duplicity he is going to descend to next.
I'm sorry?
Because some of us might be amused to hear what levels of duplicity he might descend to next.
I think it's
theater, actually.
So you think it's a joke, basically, that you think that his policies are so awful and so terrible.
Well, what do you think? Frank, you know, let's take it off of me. What do you think of his policies?
I think that most of the time, a lot of his ideas haven't worked out the way he thought.
No kidding. I like that. Yes. You got that right, dear. 349-1320. Most of the time, Dickie's policies haven't worked out the way he thought they would. But a lot of the rest of us thought that they were going to come out this way, I think. Ginger and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ginger.
Hi.
Welcome.
What I think needs to happen is the Republicans in Congress need to impeach Bush.
Yeah, but are they going to do it?
I think they should, because I think... even a lot of Republicans are just fed up with this.
It's going to take a couple years to do it, everybody says. I don't know.
So what? It doesn't matter. And I think it would send a message to the world that, you know, it wasn't us. It was, I mean, we let them do it, but...
All right, but Frank brings up an interesting point. He says, if everything Dickie says is a lie, why listen to the State of the Union address?
Oh, I do have a hard time listening to him.
Well,
I really do.
We're going to bring it to you live, I think.
Yeah.
Unless we lose our heart and soul on it, but I think we're going to bring it to you, and then we'll talk about it afterward.
I do listen, but I don't generally stay for the whole thing because he just gets me.
All right, then call.
He's so riled up that I just can't stand.
Well, then you call me afterward, and we'll discuss it. Okay, Ginger. I thank you for the call. We're performing a psychiatric function here in the community by having a venting place where you can listen to Dickie and then we can discuss it here. It's better than Prozac. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 13. Oh, more people voted in the season finale for American Idol than they did in the 2004 presidential election. I rest my case, and I am so depressed I might have to slit my ankles because it's too hard to reach my wrists. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left, which I hope isn't too depressing either, with Lisa West.
Is he that Achilles heel, you know, that we all hate? We have to, you know, shake the little two-sided doll back and forth to get rid of the awful spirits and stuff. Oh, that's how I feel when I drive a northbound Cab City Freeway. And at Marconi Avenue right there, we have a two-car crash. North and Watt Avenue just south of Fair Oaks Boulevard and northbound Cab City Freeway just north of E Street. There is a vehicle on the right-hand side slowing things down. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Sacramento.
Nothing pumps me up more than when fans tell me I love the game.
Number 23,
this is Kevin Martin from the Sacramento Kings. Metro PCS loves the Kings, and I'm a fan of Metro PCS. For just $45 a month, I can talk and text all I want, and there's no contract. If you live, work, and play in Northern California, get permission to speak freely at Metro PCS. Tell them Kevin sent you.
Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance coverage in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included. Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. $40 a month, all the local and long distance calls you can make anytime. And no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Wednesday is a great night to go out and do stuff and to listen to Enid Live and AM 1320 and to have a great conversation. Always freewheeling. If you've been incarcerated in an office all day long, you know, you just get into your car, you flip onto AM 1320, and you find out the most important things that have been going on, such as more people voted for the season finale for American Idol, a show, I am an American Idol virgin, I confess, than they did in 2004's presidential election. So what do you want to say about that? And what does that tell us about the country? And we are going to be airing Dickie's State of the Union address. Now, some of you say, ah, you get so mad, it's just a bunch of lies. But your goddess will be speaking over him whenever she feels the need to set the record straight. And it's scheduled to run for about an hour. You'll still be able to hear what he has to say. Everybody else plays it straight, but we feel like we need to comment where comment is necessary. And we will talk about the speech afterward. Now, is anybody going to listen to the speech? Not that many people listen to the surge speech. We brought you that, at least nationally. I'm just talking about the national numbers. I don't know, maybe in Sacramento. But, of course, all of us who do talk radio, this is something we think people want to listen to. And, you know, you'll tune in, you'll tune out. But you will also want to talk about it afterward, won't you? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let's head over to the phones. Catherine and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Enid.
Welcome.
I didn't really hear the question, but I heard you say that someone asked why anybody would watch the State of the Union.
Right. A lot of people say, well, what he said was, if everything that Dickie says is a pack of lies, why even listen to the State of the Union? Why are you even running the State of the Union? Because we think we should.
That's exactly why you would listen. Because as you listen to everything he says, you know the truth is the opposite.
I think it's a perverse form of theater myself, where you can pick through the lies and listen to his sheer nerve and gall to stand there and look us in the eyeballs, his medicated demeanor, looking us into the eyeballs and telling us selling that old snake oil like he's been doing for the last 6 years.
Right, but a psychopath without a conscience, that's pretty normal behavior.
Well, that's the definition of a psychopath.
Exactly.
I don't think
exactly.
They don't have
this is what's sitting in the White House. You know, but that's the only reason I can think of, because frankly, when he opens his mouth, I mean, I get so nauseated, I generally, you know, turn it off.
All right. Okay, then I have an idea. Let's, you know, take that lemon and make lemonade. We're all trying to lose weight. You listen to Dickie, you get so nauseated, you can't keep anything down, you lose a couple ounces. There it is, Catherine. It's cheaper, too. The Dickie Weight Loss Diet.
There you go.
I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. Nadia in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Nadia.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Hey, Enid, I love your show. Thank you so much for doing that. I'm a Russian resident. I'm a legal resident, and I'm not into much into politics, but what I don't understand is I'm so much against war because I know how many people suffer and die, and what I don't understand is the strategy, the reason why are we in Iraq? I mean, why?
We don't know. Nobody knows why we're in Iraq.
I mean, we lose so much money. We lose so many people, and people who are for the war, who support troops. How can you not understand that people, not only American people, but people, little children, they die, innocent children, those who are in those houses being killed, shot.
I'm going to tell you my theory, Nadia, and it will make you, I don't think it will perk up your day. I think it was political in the sense of they thought they could get mileage for the next election coming up because they were seen to be strong militarily, and they thought that they could get in and get out, use the Iraqi people, be out in a month, and make themselves look like conquerors of the universe. And boy, the Iraqis had the last laugh there. I really think it was that deceptive and that basic. That's what I think it was all about. But there's no good reason for us to be in Iraq. And it's costing hugely. In every way that you can measure these costs, it's costing hugely.
Another thing is we fight for democracy in Iraq. It's like going to Africa and fight for something in Africa that we're never going to get it. The poor Islamic people, they are so religious. They believe in their Islam religion, and what are we trying to change there? I don't get it. I'm so disappointed, and I'm really feel sad for those people who die, for those who suffer. And Ina, thank you so much for doing this program, and it really helps, and it really makes me, not only me, but other people to express our opinions, and I totally against the war. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Nadia. Thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Dan in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how you doing, Enid? You're talking about the State of the Union.
Yeah, we're going to carry it live, and I'm going to comment during his talk, I think, if I have anything to say or if he's too egregious in his lies, and then we'll talk about it afterward. But, you know, more people, as has been noted, voted on the season finale for American Idol than they did for the vote for the 2004 presidential election. So I don't know how many people are going to want to listen or watch.
Well, I'm just...
Are you there, Dan? What happened?
Yeah, hello?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. No, I just want to know if you guys are going to translate it into English in real time, or if we got to wait till after the speech for you guys to translate it for us. Because I can understand what that guy says.
You cannot understand? I'm going to be like the UN, Dan. I am going to be doing a simultaneous translation as he is talking and tell you what he really, really, really means. And okay. Then we will talk about it afterwards. So he's moving his lips, but your goddess will be doing the talking.
Thank you, Enid.
You are very welcome. 349-1320-866-626-1320. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Man, that was very well said. Thank you. I can hardly wait until Tuesday. Anyway, so we've got lows tonight right around 33. Highs coming up tomorrow, 59. But sunny it's going to be. Partly cloudy coming on through Friday and Saturday. We might even see some showers on through this weekend. Our traffic, Fair Oaks Boulevard at Manzanita. We have a two-car crash. Emergency vehicles are on the way. Eastbound 50 just west of Zinfandel and Morris Avenue, Via Grande. There is a two-car crash over there slowing things down. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, I'm News 10's.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because it got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
For a good time, call Enid at 349-1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Lately, I've been so far gone, pretending, and I don't know where I went wrong. I've been lying to myself in the arms of someone else. Without you, I just can't fake.
42 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. That was a guy who came in number two on American Idol. So, I'm told. I haven't seen that show. 349, it must be like the amateur hour. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Okay. So we're going to carry the state of it. We're going to bring it to you live, and your goddess will be telling you what Dickie really means.
It's good.
As he is speaking to the nation on next Tuesday night at 6 o'clock Pacific time, and it's probably going to go for an hour. We'll talk about it afterward, and we invite you to listen, but are any of you going to listen? Are you going to watch it on TV? It's such a pack of lies, but we'll have a lot of fun with it, and I think it's our responsibility. Hey, it is our responsibility to know what's going on, to read a newspaper once in a while, and if you don't read a newspaper, then I tell you what, you listen to Enid Live. We digest, really, the top stories every single day right here, and by the time you get home, you know everything. Now, there's something that I haven't brought up. I haven't wanted to bring it up. I'm going to bring it up, but I was very disappointed when it came up. I just sat on it for a long time, and now we really do need to talk about it. Do you remember when Nancy Pelosi, when it was clear she was going to be Speaker of the House, and she had to appoint somebody to head the House Intelligence Committee, and Jane Harman lobbied very strongly, so strongly that she turned a lot of people off, and certainly she turned Nancy Pelosi off. She and Nancy Pelosi were at one time reported to be quite good friends, and then something happened, and there is now the big chill. Jane Harman would have, by virtue of her position and her seniority, been the logical choice to head up the Intelligence Committee, the House Intelligence Committee, and she was bypassed. And reports now say that she's really been depressed about it, and it's, you know, being in the House has lost some of its magic for her. I don't know if that's true, if it's not true. We don't know why Nancy Pelosi didn't appoint her a chair of the House Intelligence Committee. There was a lot of speculation about it. Was it because she showboated too much and she was on all the cable shows and everything else, and that she wasn't enough of a pushback to Dickey and the Republicans, that she went along a little bit too much with the Republicans? I don't know. I really don't know. Or whether it had to do with whatever their personal relationship was or was not, I really do not know. But she was bypassed, and in her place, Sylvester Reyes was appointed. Now, here is where, you know, I think you, some of you know the story, but a lot of you may not. And this is where it's, the Democrats came in. This is a moment in history that is, I think, unique. It's where the people have spoken, we want a change, we want a clean house, we want ethics. You know, this idealism that forms the fundament of what we are, we may not live up to it. We may lie and say that we are writing our biography when it's in it's fiction so that we can make a lot of money. We may lie a lot of, but deep down inside all of us is this idealism still beats that we are a democracy, that we are the knights in shining armor and so on. Well, here is Sylvester Reyes, and we want somebody who's smart on intelligence and really to do the job. And he was interviewed by Jeff Stein, who's a reporter for Congressional Quarterly. And here is Jeff Stein interviewed Washington counterterrorism official and two Republican Congress members who oversaw spy agencies at the time and wrote an op-ed, a piece about it for the New York Times, and found that that they all could use crash courses in Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah. In an effort to be fair, then, he asked similar questions, Jeff Stein, of Texas Congressman Sylvester Reyes, recently selected by incoming, or now House Leader, Nancy Pelosi, to chair the House Intelligence Committee. Reyes stumbled when I asked him a simple question about Al-Qaeda at the end of a 40-minute interview in his office, Stein wrote for Congressional Quarterly. Members of the Intelligence Committee, mind you, sorry, I was sneezing there, are paid $165,200 a year to know more than basic facts about our foes in the Middle East. And here's how the dialogue went, and it really is not very reassuring. Maybe Jane Harman should have had the job after all. Al-Qaeda is what, I asked, Sunni or Shia? Al-Qaeda, said Reyes. Well, they have both. You're talking about predominantly? Sure, I said, not knowing what else to say. Well, predominantly probably Shiite, he ventured. He couldn't have been more wrong. Al-Qaeda is profoundly Sunni. If a Shiite showed up in an Al-Qaeda clubhouse, they'd slice his head off and use it for a soccer ball. But Jeff Stein reports that Reyes knew more than his last round of gotcha victims. Representative Joanne Davis, Republican of Virginia, and Terry Everett, Republican of Alabama, both back for another term, were flummoxed by such basic questions, as were several top counterterrorism officials at the FBI when Stein wrote about them back in October. William Huon, Executive Assistant Director for the FBI's new National Security Branch, falsely answered that Iran and Hezbollah were Sunnis, while the Republican House Intelligence Subcommittee chairs couldn't tell the difference between Shiites and Sunnis, although they both admitted that such knowledge was, quote, very important. Let me ask you a question. Here is Sylvester Reyes, chairing the House Intelligence Committee, and when he's asked by a pretty straightforward, very solid reporter from Congressional Quarterly, when he's asked who makes up Al-Qaeda, whether Sunni or Shia, Reyes doesn't know. He says, well, both. They have both. And you're talking about predominantly? Well, sure, I ventured, not knowing what else to say, said the reporter. Well, predominantly, probably Shiite, he ventured. And he was wrong. It's predominantly Sunni. So I'm asking you, when Nancy Pelosi had the chance to appoint somebody who knew something to the House Intelligence Chair. I mean, here's an oxymoron, because this guy is not intelligent enough to know some of the most basic facts about the information he is going to have to be responsible for. What are your thoughts about this? I really didn't want to say it, but in the interest of fairness, I have to, because your goddess is not going to, you know, I'm not going to try to, you know, I'm going to try to share what I know here with you. 349-1320, 866-620-1320. Doesn't give us a lot of confidence, does it? We hope there are a lot of smarter people than Sylvester Reyes, or they put him through a crash course in who Al-Qaeda is made up of. Diane Sawyer asked this question. It's kind of a softball, fluffball, Good Morning America kind of a question, but I thought it was kind of interesting anyway. There are 16 women senators, and she wonders, for the first time ever, the U.S. Senate boasts 16 women, half the number of women who have served in the Senate during the country's more than 200-year history. So I guess all in 200 years, only 32 women have ever been senators. It is a very exclusive club when it comes to women. In an unprecedented interview, ABC's Diane Sawyer sat down with all of them to talk about everything from the 2008 elections to the future of women in government. And she is asking the question as to whether or not having 16 women in the Senate now would have made a difference. Would that mean, would more women mean less war? Would more women mean that there would be less war? What do you think? One woman answered by saying, one senator answered by saying, I think that women are agents of change. And while we're only 16% of the U.S. Senate, we are trying to make change. So it doesn't mean that you're going to predict the outcome, but it does mean you'll hear about collaboration. You will hear about cooperation and you will hear about a format that I think brings people together, except for when Nancy Pelosi and Jane Harman decided not to collaborate and get together. And instead we have Sylvester Reyes, who doesn't exactly know which branch of Islam predominantly Al-Qaeda. You may wish to comment. It is kind of a sad story, but I don't know what to say about it. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. All right. Well, maybe one of the reasons nobody wants to listen to the State of the Union address, even though we are performing a public service, a pubic service, by bringing it to you, on Tuesday night, I think it's Tuesday night. I hope it's Tuesday night. 6 o'clock is when the president is scheduled to deliver that address, that perky address. We ought to compare it with previous ones, where it's a fairy tale, but and more snake oil that he's hoping to sell. And some of you are saying, well, if nothing he says you can believe, why are you going to even carry it? Well, because I think we should. And I think I should set the record straight, and I think you should too, and we should respond to it afterward. And this is the place to do it, because you're not going to have anything like that on conservative talk radio. I don't think so. All right, here it is. The goal. People who are in their 20s, they did a survey. Ask people in their 20s about their generation's top life goals. And the answer is clear and resounding. Here's what they want to be. They want to be rich and they want to be famous. So that's why everybody's watching American Idol, because it's a shortcut. And rich and famous are the goals now. Now, it isn't that people never wanted to be rich or famous in the past. But what I think is different from now than from the past is people were embarrassed to say that that's what they aspire to. They would say, well, I aspire to have a life that has meaning. They might say that they hope to find something that they could, you know, some way that they could contribute. I mean, if you were asked that question, what you aspire to, what would you answer? If you're in the, sort of Gen Y age group of 20s, your answer is going to be clear and loud. Rich and famous. That's what we aspire to, apparently. Your thoughts? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What does it say about us? You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Our traffic, Dewey Drive at Madison Avenue. We have a two-car crash over there, slowing things down now. All the usual spots, of course, Madison Avenue onto I-80 west and east. It looks like on the way to Roseville, we have a vehicle on the right-hand side slowing things down just past Madison Avenue. 50 going over top of the mountain, nice and slow. And southbound 99 at Fruit Ridge Road. I believe there's a disabled vehicle, but the traffic is just nice and slow over there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320. Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Seen it live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly, not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Seven on the Wednesday midweek edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. And here is a Pew Research Center poll polling 18 to 25-year-olds. And the result is that most of them said the same thing, that getting rich is their generation's most important or second most important life goal. 51% said the same about being famous. Now, there used to be a time when if that's what you really aspire to, and they did a survey, by the way, of little kids a while back. And they asked little kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And most of the little kids answered, famous. So fame has become...
Whitney. White House spokesman Tony Snow warns the Senate
to tie one's hand in a time of war is a pretty extreme move.
Proposed today a resolution against the new strategy in Iraq. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
This resolution could hit the Senate floor next week, and the White House is already furiously lobbying Republican senators to stop them from joining Democrats and going on record as opposing the buildup of U.S. troops in Iraq. But some Republicans will support it, including Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel, who helped write it.
It is dangerously irresponsible
continue to put American lives in the middle of a clearly defined tribal sectarian civil war.
This resolution would not be binding on President Bush, but a congressional rebuke like this would carry substantial political weight. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Bush administration did an about-face today. From now on, it will abide by the rules of a secret court in conducting electronic surveillance of people in this country suspected of having links to foreign terrorists.
Until today, the administration has rebuffed demands that the warrantless surveillance program be put under a special court on the grounds that the president has the inherent authority to conduct the eavesdropping. Now the Attorney General has informed Congress that the administration will no longer operate on its own. The Justice Department is making this announcement a day before Alberto Gonzalez goes before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambidakis. Correspondent John Harchie reports the Department of Homeland Security has a new program to speed innocent people through airports.
The government program goes by an acronym, TRIP. Traveler Redress Inquiry Program. It's billed as a voluntary one-step process, allowing people to get a review if they feel they've been wrongly delayed or prevented from boarding a plane or barred from entering or leaving the U.S. About 31,000 innocent people each year have found themselves on no-fly lists because they have names that are similar to those on terror or criminal watch lists.
15-year-old Sean Hornbeck, the Missouri boy found alive after he'd been missing more than 4 years, is said to have spoken briefly about his ordeal during the taping of tomorrow's Oprah Winfrey show. Audience members say Hornbeck was there, and on a video clip, he said he was terrified during his captivity and prayed his parents would find him. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has more on the investigation.
The sheriff here in Washington County did tell reporters that after talking with Sean Hornbeck several times over the past few days, the sheriff has a pretty good sense of what happened during the 4+ years that Hornbeck was allegedly held captive by this man in St. Louis.
That man, Michael Devlin, is now charged with kidnapping Hornbeck as well as 13-year-old Ben Ownby, and authorities consider him their most viable lead in the 1991 disappearance of another boy who's never been found. Today on Wall Street, the Dow lost 5 points, closing at 12,577. This is CBS News.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
How cold is it in Southern California? Cold enough for a brief snowfall in Malibu. The mountains behind the oceanfront homes got a dusting of white for the first time in more than 20 years. Question Mark and the Mysterians had a number one hit in 1966 with 96 Tears. The lead singer, who still goes by the name Question Mark, shed a few tears last week when his home in Vienna Township, Michigan, burned down. Pets were killed, and rock memorabilia, including a gold record and an organ believed to have been used by Pink Floyd, was destroyed. He didn't have insurance, but friends and fans have rallied around Question Mark, who continues to perform with the Mysterians. They're talking about a benefit concert with the likes of Bob Seger, Kid Rock, and Eminem. Question Mark says, no matter how tragic it is, if you know who you are and know what you have to offer, don't let those tragedies bring you down. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Breathe. Live, mobile, and left. It's Edith Goldstein, AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7, right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Weekdays, we have, I think, I like to believe. I'm probably as delusional as Dickie, our president. But I like to think that we have a pretty wonderful conversation that goes on. It is a movable feast. Goes on for 4 hours, Mondays through Fridays from 3 to 7. The more of you who participate, the better the conversation gets. If you've never called before, think about doing it. You might be a little bit nervous, and I would be, and I really don't call people's shows very often. Very rarely have I ever done it because, I'm kind of timid about that, actually. Your goddess. But I encourage you to do it, and I know most of you have never called, and you listen instead. You're just voyeurs in the night. But but we love to hear from you. And it costs you nothing to weigh in on what we have been discussing, which I'll take you through what we have been discussing today. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live, 1320, leftchannel.com. So if you're on the road, if you are unable to have a radio going in the where you're working or in the room where you are, or if you're downtown and the reception's a little bit difficult inside a building, we stream live, so you can listen to us online, 1320, leftchannel.com. And you can call me, and it doesn't cost a penny to do it. 349-1320. Local call, 349-1320. And if you're out of the area code, 866-626-1320. And we have been a lot of places today. Sheila Kuehl has debunked Arnold's health care plan. It is not universal. It's got a lot of hidden minefields in it. It's going to be an undue burden on people who don't have a lot of money. It's going to be an undue burden on a lot of businesses. It really doesn't cap, doesn't tell us what the fees are going to be. The insurance companies can charge the earth if they want, and they don't have to deliver very much for it. So there are no restrictions on the insurance companies in that department. They can charge you a lot of money, not give you very much for it. Sheila Kuehl says it is not universal health care. Absolutely not. Her plan is so much far superior. But like many things that are superior, is it going to go anywhere when you have the big insurers who will do everything they can to keep it from going anywhere? They really don't want to be out of this loop because they make too much money in the state of California. So we have been talking about that. We've been talking about the fact that you can finally get your name off of a no-fly list. It's sort of like a labyrinthine corridor in hell where you just can't get out of it. Roach Motel, they check in, but they can't check out. Ted Kennedy could not get his name off one of these no-fly lists for quite a long time. I think it was over a year, when I recall. But anyway, now there's a procedure they're putting in place for that. We're talking about the fact that the FISA court now will oversee warrantless wiretaps or wiretaps that were heretofore warrantless, and the administration really fought it, and now they're not fighting it anymore. Dickie's State of the Union address is going to be next Tuesday, I think, and we are going to carry it live. Now, since you can't believe anything Dickie has to say, the question is, why should we be carrying it at all? Because it's just going to be a pack of lies. But I think it's important. Now, this is Tuesday, January 23rd. So, yes, Tuesday, January 23rd, we will carry it. Your goddess will correct the record as Dickie utters one lie after another. He'll be moving his lips. I'll be doing a little bit of the talking, but you'll still be able to hear what he has to say. I know that when the surge speech ran, a lot of people didn't listen or watch, but a lot of people did. And so we're going to be available to talk about it afterward. We'll take your calls. We might or might not have some other people who will join us. We'll see how we decide to do it. But definitely we want to take your calls after the speech. And you'll have a place to register what you thought of the speech. And, you know, most people are going to watch American Idol, or they're going to go shopping, or they're not going to watch the speech. Most people are never going to see the film Notes on a Scandal, which is a superb film. They're just not going to. I guess quality is kind of shoved off to the side. It doesn't matter that much. We're also talking about the non-binding resolution that has been signed by Joe Biden, by Carl Levin, by Chuck Hagel. So it's bipartisan that will undoubtedly pass. And what effect will it have on Dickie sending troops in? Hardly any, probably. We've been talking about many things, and we've been talking about this survey that the Pew Center took of 18 to 25-year-olds, the Pew Research Center. And getting rich is the generation's most important or second most important life goal. 51 said the same about being famous. So rich and famous are what they want to be. Do you have any thoughts about it? And I want to also weigh in on Jimmy Carter. You know, he's written that book about Israel and Palestine, which he sort of disses Israel, and he's now the great champion of Palestine. So about 13 people have resigned from his board, and somebody has released this information that he interceded on behalf of a Nazi SS guard. Oh, some years back, in 1987, he'd been out of office for 7 years or so. was a very active period. This is now the person who is releasing this information is a guy named Neil Scherer. He's a veteran of the U.S. Justice Department's Office of Special Investigation. He described a letter he received from President Carter in 1987 in an interview on Israeli radio. The letter, written and signed by Carter, asked that Neil Scherer, a veteran of the U.S. Justice Department's Office of Special Investigation, show special consideration for a man proven to have murdered Jews in Mauthausen, in one of the death camps in Austria, one of the concentration camps. So in 1987, Carter had then been out of office for 7 years or so. It was a very active period for my office. We had just barred Kurt Waldheim. He was then president of Austria, former head of the UN, from entering the U.S. because of his Nazi past and his involvement in the persecution of civilians during the war. We had just deported an Estonian Nazi commandant back to the Soviet Union after a bruising battle, after which we were attacked by Reagan White House communications director Patrick Buchanan. Also around that time, in the spring of 1987, we deported a series of SS guards from concentration camps whose names nobody would know. One such character we sent back to Austria was a man named Martin Bartesz. Bartesz, who had immigrated to the U.S. and lived in Chicago, admitted to Scherer's office in the Department of Justice and the court that he had voluntarily joined the Waffen-SS, and had served in the notorious SS Death's Head Division at that particular concentration camp where, at the hands of Bartesz and his cohorts, many thousands of prisoners were gassed, shot, starved, and worked to death. He also confessed to having concealed his service at the infamous camp from U.S. immigration officials. We had an extraordinary piece of evidence against him, a book that was kept by the SS and captured by the American Armed Forces when they liberated that concentration camp, Scherer said. We called it the Death Book. It was a roster that the Germans required them to keep that identified SS guards as they extended weapons to murder the inmates and prisoners. In any event, we kicked him out, and there was an entry that registered the shooting death of a French Jewish prisoner, and it was a fairly chilling document. In any event, Scherer says, we kicked him out of the U.S., and he went back to Austria. In the meantime, his family, and he had adult kids, went on a campaign, also supported by his church, to try to get special treatment. In so doing, they attacked the activities of our office and me personally. They claimed we used phony evidence from the Soviet Union, which was nonsense. They claimed he was a young man of only 17 or 18 when he joined the Nazis, asking for some sympathetic treatment and defense from our office, which they claimed was just after vengeance. The family approached several members of Congress. The congressmen would, very understandably, forward their claims over to our office, and when they learned the facts, they would invariably drop the case because they pretty much had the guy on black and white. But there was one politician who accepted the claims without asking for any further information. One day, in the fall of 1987, writes Neil Scherer, my secretary walks in and gives me a letter with a Georgia return address reading Jimmy Carter. I assumed it was a prank from some old college buddies, but it wasn't. It was the original copy of the letter that Bartesz, this guy that they had deported and who had a very verified record with the as a Nazi, a lot of people died at his hands. He was a member of the SS and so on. His daughter had sent the letter to Carter after Bartesz had already been deported. In the letter, she claimed we were un-American, that we were only after vengeance, that we were persecuting a man for what he did when he was only 17 or 18 years old. I couldn't help thinking of my own father, who returned home with shrapnel wounds after he joined the U.S. Army as a teenager to fight the Nazis and hit the beaches at Normandy at the same age on D-Day. In the upper corner of the letter was a note signed by Jimmy Carter, saying that in cases such as this, he wanted, quote, special consideration for the family for humanitarian reasons. Neil Scherer says, I didn't respond to the letter. The case was already over, and he was out of the country. But it always stuck in my craw. A former president who didn't do what I would expect him to do with a full staff at his disposal to find out the facts before he took up the side of this person. But I wasn't going to pick a fight with a former president. We had enough on our plate. Now, following Carter's book, Palestine, Peace Not Apartheid, Scherer has decided to go public with the hope that a public made aware of Carter's support and defense of a Nazi SS man will help illustrate why the arbiter of the Camp David Accords came out with a book defending the Palestinians after the landslide election of the Islamist Hamas terror group. It always bothered me, Neil Scherer said, but I didn't go public with it until recently when he wrote this book and let it spill out where his sentiments really lie. Here was Jimmy Carter jumping in on behalf of someone who did not deserve in any way, shape, or form special consideration. And the things he now said about the Jewish lobby really exposes where his heart really lies. So you may have some comments about that. Jimmy Carter defending a former Nazi SS officer where they had real documentation about the guy's past. It wasn't really a question as to was it him, was it somebody else, was it mistaken identity. No, it was him. And Jimmy Carter defended him. So what do you think about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Well, it turns out that in a series of secret meetings in Europe between September 2004 and July of 2006, Syrians and Israelis formulated understandings for a peace agreement between Israel and Syria, it is being reported. Now, why we don't want to talk to Syria and why we don't want to talk to Iran, I really don't know. Maybe you have some thoughts about that. And I want to add this to the discussion. We've also been talking about, and if you are just joining us, we've been talking about this Pentagon official who is threatening law firms because a lot of law firms have attorneys doing pro bono work on behalf of those Guantanamo detainees, and he was threatening those law firms, saying that he was going to sick their corporate clients on them to drop those law firms for their work on behalf of representing Guantanamo detainees. He has since apologized, not exactly for the things he said, but sort of uttered words that sort of resemble an apology. So we've been discussing that as well. 349-1320. There are cities that are requiring that everybody who lives in that city have a gun. And here's what we know. The higher the gun ownership in any place, the higher the homicide rate. That's what we know. 349-1320. So those of you who are big gun enthusiasts, I just want you to know that. And I want those of you who are not to know that there are some places where the laws are in place where you have to own a gun. It is a phenomenon that gives the term gun control a whole new meaning. Community ordinances that encourage citizens to own guns. Last month, Greenleaf, Idaho adopted Ordinance 208, calling for its citizens to own guns and keep them ready in their homes in case of emergency. It is not a response to high crime rates. As the AP reported, Greenleaf doesn't really even have crime. The most violent offense reported in the past 2 years was a fist fight. Rather, it is a statement about preparedness in the event of an emergency in an effort to promote a culture of self-reliance. And it may not be a bad idea, somebody feels. While pro-gun laws like this one in Greenleaf are mostly symbolic, to the extent that they actually make a difference, it is likely to be a positive one. Do you think so? Well, here's what we know. I once interviewed a police chief, Joe McNamara, when he was police chief in San Jose, and then went on to the Hoover Institution. So he's a very well-respected lawman. I think he has a doctorate from Harvard in criminal, you know, justice or criminal injustice. And he doesn't like the idea that ordinary citizens are armed. He thinks it's really a bad idea. He says cops who have all this training, 15% of them can have their guns turned against them. And they're trained and they're theoretically and ready. They're not rusty in their skills. Theoretically, their skills are kept up. They're shooting on ranges and so forth. And your goddess once took, because sometimes I've done some dicey stories, and I once got it in my head that if I knew how to use a gun, I could maybe save my life in one of these dicey situations. And so I signed up for a police class, and it was then held on the range at San Quentin. And it was really kind of eye-opening, I have to tell you. There were they had us using a variety of firearms, and some of them had quite a kick so that you got black and blue on your shoulder. And then I was with a guy who looked like he was 10 years old, and there were a bunch of us. They lined us up side by side, shoulder to shoulder, and there was a target in front of us, and the guy next to me who was in training to be a cop and looked like he was 10 years old looked at me as we were supposed to shoot the target, and he says, "This town isn't big enough for the two of us." And I thought, oh, my God, get me out of here. 349-1320, 866-26-1320. Well, I learned. I'm sure I've forgotten, but anyway, I learned. And so here are these towns where they want a rifle in every pot. And I think that you can, first of all, you can have your gun turned against you if you are not trained on weapons. You can hurt yourself. I mean, you know, you got to dig around. A woman digging around in her handbag, you can just forget it. You'll never find it. I just think it's a horrible idea. And what we do know is the higher the rate of guns in any community, the higher the homicide rate. I think it's a terrible idea to encourage people to bear arms. I don't think it solves anything. And I don't think it, I think it's the illusion of safety. And here's a town that the most awful offense they've had in the last several years has been a fist fight. So 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Should we all be armed in Sacra Tomato? Well, even the Venus de Milo, and she doesn't have any arms. She's disarming. Should we? What do you think? Is this a good idea? I think it's a terrible idea myself. I really think it's a terrible idea because people don't know what they're doing. People shoot first and they ask questions later. They shoot themselves in the foot. They'll shoot themselves in their most private parts. They'll shoot off their giblets. Really, in the middle of the night, they'll shoot their beloved who's downstairs stealing food out of the refrigerator at 3 o'clock in the morning after watching all those infomercials about how you slather on that thigh cream and if you sleep in it overnight, you lose 20 pounds. Yes, that's what will happen. Your goddess is right here to tell you. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. So westbound 50 just west of Hazel Avenue, we have a vehicle on the right-hand side. It's really the only spot we see slowing down. Florin Road and northbound I-5, nice and slow due to a disabled vehicle. Looks like it's on the right-hand side just over the fog line. Northbound Cap City Freeway at Marconi Avenue, we do have a two-car crash there, stopping things down a little bit. And Dewey Drive at Madison Avenue, we have a two-car crash. Otherwise, our normal places, I-5 and adjacent, and, of course, 50 going over top of the mountain. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7. And we are talking about the proposal to put a rifle in every pot. In some cities, they have ordinances where they want you to, everybody in town, it's a new definition of gun control, to have a gun. And I'm saying I think it's a terrible idea. And places where there are more guns are places where there are more homicides. What are your thoughts? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Mike in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Enid, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, before I make a comment about the issue, I need to ask you a couple questions just to clarify in my mind the nature of this thing. This Greenleaf, Idaho, where is that in Idaho exactly? And how
I don't know. I have no idea where in Idaho it is. But tell me what you think. Tell me what your point is, because I don't know where it is.
There are places in Idaho where having a rifle in the house is like having a flashlight in case of an emergency, because you might have to use it to quite literally keep the wolves away from the door. And I think there are, you know, in an urban setting, it certainly isn't appropriate, but there are still places. I lived in Idaho as a child in a place called Elk City, and it was so rural that
Pass an ordinance if those are the circumstances of the town? If you need a gun the way you would need a snow shovel, you would have it. But so to pass an ordinance, what's that all about? They have had no crime in this town.
Was an ordinance recommending or mandating it?
This is an ordinance calling for its citizens to own guns and keep them ready in their homes in case of an emergency. So if there's an emergency, we hope you don't shoot yourself in the foot, and we hope you don't shoot your swinging little giblets off either.
Can somebody get a ticket for not having a gun in their house?
Maybe you could get a ticket if you don't have a gun in your house. You might be able to get a ticket for not having a gun. And then it's a town in which you say to everybody, is that a gun in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Well, here's what I'm thinking, though.
Yes, Mike, what are you thinking, if anything?
I am, Well, I'm thinking about the gun in my pocket.
Yes.
What I'm thinking is this. I think that there are some things. It shouldn't be legislated that everybody has to have a gun.
Well, that's the...
That's necessarily right.
Well, they...
And I'm not sure. You know, I don't know, but that's something about that doesn't... just doesn't ring true. I mean, there's... I think there might be something either left out or something in that
story. It was the attempt to promote, if you can believe this, a culture of self-reliance. And it's the following the footsteps of a town in Georgia, Kennesaw, Georgia, which in 1982 passed a mandatory gun ownership law in response, and they did this in response, to a handgun ban passed in Morton Grove, Illinois. Kennesaw's crime dropped sharply while Morton Grove's did not, is what they're saying. So they think that there's a correlation. On the other hand, the more guns you have in a community, the other figure I've seen is the more homicides occur. So where are you on this issue? You think this is a great idea to mandate that everybody have a gun?
Oh, no, I don't think anybody should legislate that you have to carry a gun. But I, at the same time, I just don't think that that was the aim of the of these people who did this. I'm kind of on the fence right now because I just don't think I have all the information. I think that in some rural settings it's appropriate to have one, and even in a rural setting, I think that you shouldn't be told you have to have one.
Well, that's it. If you really need it.
In a rural setting where they think that they have to tell you that you need to have a rifle, maybe you're living in the wrong place.
Well, the thing is, if you really need one, why do you need a law about it? You just would go out and get one. You need a broom. Nobody passes a law. Everybody's got to have a broom. You go buy a broom.
The only thing I can think of that they may have been thinking is maybe they were getting a lot of us Californians moving into Idaho that didn't know about guns.
Well, Idaho is...
grizzly bears. I don't know.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't know which is which either in Idaho.
Yeah.
Well, Mike...
That was my other question for you, too, was is this town anywhere close to any of where the militias are or where the Aryan Nation Church, those members are?
I'm afraid I don't know where Greenleaf, Idaho is, and I don't know where all the militias are either. There are a couple places I know about, but I know that Idaho is kind of a hotbed of that activity, only that they've had no history of violent crime. The worst thing that happened was a fistfight a couple years ago.
So, yeah, but that might have been when the guy popped off the Nazi salute and smacked the other guy like the Three Stooges. You don't know.
Thank you very much for that graphic image, Mike. We appreciate it. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Well, here it is. So your thoughts about a rifle in every pot. What's wrong with encouraging people to bear arms or to arm bearers? I'd like to know. Call it a pundit summit, but Stephen Colbert, who plays the, you know, he's on the Colbert Report, the pompous commentator on the poll. He said he's going to be on the O'Reilly Show because... He says he is going to be a guest on the O'Reilly Factor, another pompous commentator. But one does it for real, and one does it as a put-on. You can decide which is which. He says, I look forward to the evening. It is an honor to speak face-to-face at Colbert with a broadcasting legend. And I feel the same way about Mr. O'Reilly. Later that night, O'Reilly returns a favor and makes his debut on the Colbert Report. I'm really looking forward to speaking to a man, says O'Reilly, who owes his entire career to me. Well, well, well. All right. So if you're 18 to 25 years old, the only thing you care about is being rich and you care about being famous. Do you want to comment about that? And then if you live in Greenleaf, Iowa, Idaho, you have to own a gun. You have to have a gun. Now, the argument that's made is that criminals, unsurprisingly, would rather break into a house where they are not at risk of being shot. But we do know that the more guns there are in a community, the higher the homicide rate. And then you have the issue of little kids getting into their parents' guns. You know, we have had countless examples of 10 and 11-year-olds, younger kids than that, even teenagers, and they don't think it's loaded, and they blow the head off of their best friend. I mean, we have all seen these stories. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. We're also talking about Jimmy Carter, who wrote a letter to the Justice Department on behalf of this Nazi officer wanting to extend to him humanitarian considerations. He had been deported, and he wanted to bring him back, I guess, which is kind of surprising. I always thought Jimmy Carter was a nice guy, but maybe he's not so nice. I don't like his new book, which I have not read, but maybe you have. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. A lot of people are critical of it, people who are far more in the know about those issues, including Dennis Ross, who was an envoy to the Middle East, says Carter has misappropriated some of his maps and has misinterpreted them as well. O.J. Simpson, Judith Regan, her imprint at HarperCollins is no more. It has been disappeared. She has been disappeared from the job. The O.J. book is the subject of a Newsweek story this week, If I Did It. They looked at the particular chapter where he, the striking about the chapter is how closely it tracks with the evidence in the case and how clearly Simpson invokes the classic language of a wife abuser. So that's the author's conclusion here. So O.J. Simpson, If I Did It. He says he didn't do it, but, you know, he's still looking for the real killer of Nicole. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. And this, I thought, was a novel approach. You may want to comment on this. First of all, Alberto Gonzalez, who is really a mediocrity, believes that judges are unfit to rule on terror policy. Judges are unfit. Only Alberto Gonzalez, a mediocrity, is fit to rule on anti-terror policy, apparently, or fit to make it. And an antiques dealer. Madison, in a very fancy neighborhood in New York, in Manhattan, selling very fancy and undoubtedly overpriced and bloated antiques, has been bedeviled by all these homeless people who stink up his his doorway with their stinky things and sleep in the doorway. And it's such a posh Upper East Side emporium that it keeps people from walking in, and he can't get rid of them. And and one homeless man has an island of filthy belongings in particular, and has had for more than 2 years. So what does the antiques dealer decide to do to get them out of there? He decides, which I think is ridiculous, he decides to sue these homeless vagrants for $1 million. Like, they even know what day it is half the time. A lot of people who are homeless have serious mental issues or have addiction issues. So he's suing them for $1 million. He thinks this will do it. You know what he ought to do? Instead of spending the money with an attorney, he ought to rent them an apartment. Do something like that, and that would be the way to do it, don't you think? I mean, he's running this fancy business, this posh emporium that is undoubtedly overpriced and too snooty for words. So let him spend the money that he would have spent on this attorney filing this ridiculous lawsuit and get him a place to live. Make a little, you know, first and last month. What do you think? 349-1320. Put him up at the Y. 866-626-1320. Why? Why not? Stephanie and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Stephanie.
Oh, hi. I'm calling about the gun issue in Idaho.
Yes.
A while back, I did a survey just amongst my friends, so not very objective, but amongst my friends to see who was in favor and who was against gun control. And amongst all these liberal, left-wing, progressive people, it fell out that the men were pro-gun and the women were pro-gun control. And I don't know if it's true, you know, nationwide or anything, but it just seems like it breaks down along those lines.
You know, that's very interesting because in some of the surveys they did when George Bush was running, Dickie, our president, our alleged president, was running, they found out that in mixed marriages, that is where one was a Democrat and one was a Republican, it was always the man who was in favor more so of a guy like George Bush. Because, you know, he played that Texas macho number. What can men do these days? How macho can they be? They sit around because they can't be macho, and they play, you know, they play drums in the woods. All they can do is get sex and make money. That's all that's left to men these days. And so they're busy doing both, right? And sometimes at the same time. I want to hear.
There's also the male, at least the leftist male story that, well, if the cops are the only ones with guns, who's going to protect you against the cops? And so that's sort of a frightening thought.
Oh, well, forget that. You know, that's assuming that cops are going to, you know, forget it. Forget it. I think that having a gun brings more problems with it than it does solutions. I think it's a very rare situation where you really need to be caring. Stephanie, I thank you very much for the call. But what do you think about what Stephanie had to say? Then among her hard left progressive friends, the men were in favor of guns, and the women were in favor of gun control. Now, what would Freud say about this? What are the guns really symbolic of? Any of you shrinks listening out there, any of you engaging in the usual recreational psychology, we would like to hear from you on this issue, and particularly what's left for men to do. What I mean, really, they're busy. The only thing that's left for them to do is to have sex, but they better use a condom because, you know, we're in a time of sexually transmitted diseases, so that's kind of mitigated for them, and to make money. And now 51% of women are living without men. They're not married. They're not, you know, they don't, yeah, you know. I mean, 349-13, what does this say? 349-13-20, 866-620-613-20. And they don't graduate from college in the same numbers that women do. They don't go to college in the same, but they're still able to make 100% to women's 73 or so percent. So there's still a ceiling on what women can make, even though they are the ones very often getting the college degrees, getting more education and so on, but they still make only roughly 73% of what a man makes, who now has only two activities available to him in general. Am I fair to say that? Making money and having sex. Well, and some of them learned how to cook, too. 349-1320, 866-626-13. Oh, I'm just having fun today. 866-626-1320. You may wish to respond. You may want to defend the men in your life. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Some slow traffic moving at westbound 50 and northbound I-5. Now, at northbound Cap City Freeway, just south of American River, south edge of that bridge, we have a pedestrian just sitting there alongside of the road, so please slow down and stay clear of that. East or westbound 50, just east of Strawberry, there's a two-car crash in southbound 99, just north of 12th. We have a crash over there. Not sure how many vehicles are involved, but it is slowing traffic down. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Yeah. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Metro PCS presents more scenes from other wireless stores.
How's 1,000 free minutes sound?
Wow, are they anytime minutes?
Well, they're anytime minutes.
That's what I said.
You said anytime minutes.
So did you.
I said anytime minutes.
I just thought you said anytime with like a little accent.
Well, that's what I wanted you to think.
Okay, so what are anytime minutes?
Well, they're like anytime minutes, only the window of time where you can actually use them is very small. It's any, if you will.
How small?
Sundays from 4:11 a.m. to 4:12 a.m.
Wow, that's any weenie.
I love rhymes.
Stop counting minutes. Switch to Metro PCS and pay by the month, not by the minute. For $40 a month, you get all the local and long-distance calls you can make anytime. And there's no contract. Call 888-8-METRO-8 for a store near you or buy online at MetroPCS.com. Metro PCS.
Hello.
Permission to speak freely. Long distance in the continental U.S. Taxes and fees not included.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
Wednesday edition of Enid Live, and I do love the boys in the band, and we love our men. But, you know, men, you got to step up to the plate, and we love you so much, and when you don't, we get so sad. And you know, do you know that men are going to be extinct in 150,000 years? That is right, because their chromosome does not repair itself. And the more they leave the toilet seat up, the more that chromosome is damaged. Yes! So, 349-1320, 866-626. 1320. The price of parenthood. You know how many times your parent told me, told you, me, all of us, you're going to be the death of me? Well, they did some research and found out that is actually true. The more children you have, the price of parenthood is high. We've been talking about guns. If you have to have a gun, says Lauren, then what's stopping the draft? You're capable of shooting or carrying a weapon, and you're fit for the military. What do you think about that? Charlie Rangel floating the idea of the draft, which, of course, everybody thinks is a great puckish idea, but nobody wants to send their children to this ridiculous war. And here we are. We are still in that moment. I don't know if we still are. Does it even feel like we're not very far out from the holidays, from the new year? It seems like it was a million years ago, doesn't it? Or is that just me? It seems like it didn't happen. We're waiting for it to happen, maybe in time for the sales in February, but it didn't really happen. Well, it did happen. And in case you're still making resolutions, you can forget about it, because here's a book that is talking about how to treat yourself to a lazier and messier life. And there's a new book out called A Perfect Mess. It's like, you know, you're not cleaning up anything anyway, so you're not getting organized. So why beat yourself up over it? And just enjoy it. And if you're not losing weight, so what? And here's another book called How to Cheat at Cleaning. Listen, we want to be rich, we want to be famous, and we don't want to do the hard work. We want shortcuts. You're sad? Take a pill. Get a Prozac. Get the doctor to write you for Xanax. Get an antidepressant. You're in pain? Get a Vicodin or something. Don't do the hard work. Pain and depression can be, I'm not talking about suicidal or clinical depression. I'm not talking about that. But being sad, and every time we're sad, we think it's depression. Sad is sad. What is a donut without the hole? What is summer without a winter for contrast, or a change, you know, something for contrast? If it's an endless summer, then you don't appreciate it, right? So if you're sometimes sad, you appreciate the times when you're happy and you're not sad. And sad and happy are this an oscillation. It's like the stock market, which has been described as an oscillation between optimism and pessimism. So when we're pessimistic, we're sad. And when we're optimistic, we're happy. And you can quit smoking. You can cut your cholesterol. And all of those things will add maybe 6 months or so from the reports I've seen to your lifespan. But if you are optimistic, it will add about 7 years, they say. That's one figure that I've heard. So don't clean up your house. Sleep away the pounds. Here's a book called Sleep Away the Pounds. Oh, I like that one. Where can we sign up for that book? A Perfect Mess. So here is, what she's saying in Sleep Away the Pounds is something important. Actually, it's I'm laughing at the title, but what she's saying is you need enough sleep. And if you don't get enough sleep at night, that should be number one. Arianna Huffington did a book, and one of the things she believes is the most important is you need enough sleep. And that's where we really cut corners and we all cheat. But if you don't get enough sleep, you open yourself up to diabetes. You open yourself to all kinds of illnesses. You open yourself up to accidents because your reflexes aren't as sharp. Because you haven't had enough sleep, you're kind of logy and groggy. You're not thinking as clearly as you could be if you had had enough sleep. And the thinking is that you actually makes it easier to lose weight when you have had enough sleep rather than when you have not had enough sleep. A Perfect Mess, The Hidden Benefits of Disorder. Now, what would be the benefits? The book says that crammed closets, see, now, here's the thing, all these closet organizing services, a lot of people are coming out of the closets, and then there are a lot of businesses that are going into your closets. Cluttered offices and last-minute planning actually make for a better world and a better life for you. Neatness is about suppression, believes the author. It's about having fewer things to stimulate you. Mess is better. It stimulates creativity. Well, by that barometer, you're goddess. Is a very creative and imaginative person, because I have a lot of stuff around. And I have toys, too. I like toys. I like slinky toys. They're kind of fun. When you're talking on the phone, I'd like to play with a slinky toy. But in any event, he's saying that here's the thing he's been saying that Americans have been waiting for. The vast majority are messy and consider this book a validation of what they or we have always thought. Well, I do sometimes. I really appreciate order, and I think I function better in order. And I really appreciate organization, but I don't visualize spatially as well as a lot of people do who are artists, for example. I have a friend who is an artist, and I think she does some interior design, so she can look at a space and she can organize it in 2 seconds. And she helped me the last place I lived. She just came in. She knew exactly where everything should go. She said it goes, you know, and I did the heavy lifting. I said, oh, okay, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. She said, there. And she was completely right about all of it. Well, when I'm left to my own devices, it's really, It's you know, I get there eventually, but it's a long process to get there. Yeah, but I do really appreciate organization, and I appreciate the serenity of space. I think you can think good, creative, imaginative thoughts when you don't have all that clutter around. Because you know what? That clutter has got a lot of energy on it, and it just gets in the way. It's kind of an obstacle, I think. So the author of this book is saying that when you have a lot of stuff around, it can stimulate you. Yes. Yes, it can. But then there's a line that you can ride. There's a balance there where if you have too much junk around, it just gets in the way and it makes you your mind all cluttered. Whereas I love these books around with Japanese serenity and serene environments and spare but richly, you know, rich woods but not much in it, you know, very sparely done. I like that. I think that's something to aspire to. 349-1320, 866-626. 1320. And here's an author who's written a book called Relax Into Wealth, How to Get More by Doing Less. Well, we like that. And How to Cheat at Cleaning, Time-Slashing Techniques to Cut Corners and Restore Your Sanity. So is anybody even cleaning? Everybody's working. Nobody's got time for community life. And one thing that really cut a corner on is cleaning. So you go into somebody's house, and you see a dust bunny the size of Cleveland. Well, you don't say anything. What can you say? See, I noticed that dust bunny the size of a double wide right there in your corner. No, you can't say that at all. You pretend like you didn't see that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, because men, the only two things open to them are having sex and making money, and they are not cleaning the house too much. Well, sometimes maybe. So everybody gets a Roomba and hope that that will work, and it probably doesn't. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you so much. Enid, northbound Cab City Freeway, just south of American River South Edge. We have a vehicle on the right-hand side slowing things down. Southbound 99, it looks like it's pretty slow over there, still at 653. Just north of 12th, though, on Southbound 99, we have a two-car crash slowing things down a little bit on the way to Elk Grove Boulevard and Dewey Drive. At Madison Avenue, we have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
They're slinging mud. We're slinging the truth.
You should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that.
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
At Cash Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Stand up.
6:57 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Yes, you better stand up and make yourself heard. That's the point of this program. We are, just to remind you, going to be carrying the President's State of the Union address live on Tuesday. I think it's a great idea, and I'll be commenting on it to try to set the record straight as he spews one lie after another. The question one of you asked is, if you think he's lying, why even carry it? Well, I think it's important to carry it, you know? And we'll talk about it afterward, where we can respond. Now, on the historic speech, well, it was billed as historic on the surge last week. Not a lot of people watched it. Now, they've had enough of him, and nobody believes him, but I believe that.